when America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
Alrighty, here we are, ladies and gentlemen, the American Adversaries. That's right, we're live. It is Sunday night. We got a three-hour classic tour in store for you. Hopefully you're going to be here for the whole thing. We really appreciate you being out there. As I said, we are live. There is a little wetness out there, so be careful if you're going to be heading out on the roads. Maybe give yourself a little bit of extra time. It's spotty, though, but we're not spotty. We're spot on. I got Aubrey Kahn in the studio with me.
Good evening.
Sporting an American Adversaries Radio Network t-shirt.
As is Chris Hart.
That's right. And I got Jeff Sinis on the bridge.
Sporting Joe Dimes, how you doing? And I have my shirt, too.
That's right.
This is becoming institutionalized.
That's right. All right, 407-774-8255 as we take off on edition number 300 tonight. That's right. This is the 300th edition of our Sunday night show. Hope you're going to enjoy it. We got a couple of special little treats lined up for you tonight. And we got pro wrestler, for instance, Sam Houston going to be joining us. Now, he's in California out there hanging out in Sonny's neck of the woods, you might say. But he is from Louisiana, and I believe Baton Rouge. And if I'm not mistaken, he lost about everything. So he's going to tell us about the Baton Rouge floods from a first-person perspective, you might say. But, of course, we'd like to hear your perspective, too, as the show goes along tonight. Kathy Santomassino is going to be here with some more odd stories from Sunday night. We're the oddballs, but you're not odd, the odd one out. If you're listening right now, I really appreciate it. It means you're listening on 1520 WBZW or AM660, theanswer.com, or on your smart device because you've downloaded the app. In any case, we appreciate that. The Rays lost one today. They picked up two but they lost the final one of the series. And the post-game show is going on right now. When that wraps up here momentarily, we're going to let you know. And as some of you may know out there, this is our six-year anniversary on the air. Okay, I see now we are on the big stick. Welcome cool. to the American Adversaries three-hour Sunday evening classic tour. If you've been listening to the Rays post-game show in anticipation of us going on the air, thank you very much. If you've been listening to the post-game show because you're a big Rays fan, you've never heard us before, hopefully you'll stick around and listen to us a little while. You might like what you hear. We're the American Adversaries, and we've been here 6 years now on Sunday night. Tomorrow, the 5th, is actually, if you want to call it to the day, would be the six-year anniversary because we started on 9/5/2010. But this being Labor Day weekend, Labor Day Sunday, this is the six-year anniversary of the show, number 300, which means we've taken a few Sundays off, but not very many. But I guess it's only appropriate that show number 300 fall on Labor Day weekend, which is the weekend in which we started 6 years ago. So once again, thank you. I know some of you out there have been out there from the start. I really appreciate that. You were fans of the Mike Frazier show, and he gave us some great setups, and I really appreciated that from him. Hope he's doing good, by the way. By the way, I am Christopher Hart in the studio with Aubrey Kahn. You got us here. We're live now on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer and 1520 WBZW. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. We're all sporting our American Adversaries t-shirts. They got the latest edition. I got one of the first editions on. This t-shirt.
Well, you're an old-timer. What can we tell you?
And that means this t-shirt is about 5.5 years old.
The color's all faded. Everything's black.
black and gray. It's been a whole lot of fun doing it, and we got a couple of special treats lined up for you tonight. Little surprise cameo appearances, you might say. And so you'll want to stick around for that, and we'll be doing that here in just a little while. And 407-774-8255 is the number if you want to be a part of the show tonight. All right, so, yeah, and by the way, a couple of birthdays tonight. Our man Nostradamus, who was here, there you go, thank you. He was here on that evening 6 years ago.
Yep.
And he was playing the role of call screener. And he did have some calls to screen, which we didn't know if we would or not. And so happy birthday to you, Nostradamus, and many, 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 many more. And I also want to wish a happy birthday to Angel Buckland. Angel is the wife of our very own James Buckland, who is our web man. And she has her own beautiful little shop up there in Sanford where she sells pastries and all kinds of delightful things. And it's right there downtown Sanford. You need to check it out. So happy birthday to Angel and Nostradamus. And we certainly hope that you have a great weekend in celebration of it. All right. And I guess we're celebrating, too. We're 6 years old. And I was downstairs in the restroom, you know, washing my hands and getting ready to come up here. And I looked in the mirror and I go, you know, I've been doing the same little ritual here for 6 years.
And yet you don't look a day over 50.
It doesn't seem like it at all. You know, it's like time flies when you're having fun, I guess. But it has been a whole lot of fun. And as I said, we got a couple of special cameo appearances here shortly. All right, in the meantime, got some business to talk about. By the way, the folks from I believe Steve Gushov is coming in tonight from Legal Immigrants for America, and we'll be talking about Trump's foray into Mexican foreign policy and, of course, his big speech the other night on immigration. But first, he was yesterday in Detroit. He was in Motown up yonder, and he was there to participate in a church service, and he did get a chance, contrary to all the reports leading up to the event, he did speak at the event. It wasn't very long, maybe 5 minutes, and evidently he had himself handwritten the speech that he gave, I guess you could call it a speech. It was 5 minutes or so. And it was very low-key. He was very subdued. It wasn't, you know, a rah-rah rally. But it was an appeal, and it was an appeal that, look, you know, I'm here to hear you. I'm here to listen to you, and I'm here to do what I can to help you. And the first thing, and Carl Jackson talks about this often, the first thing to winning an argument with somebody in politics, if you're the politician, is to convince them, first of all, that you care about them and their situation. And then they'll be a whole lot more likely to help you out. And, of course, this shows up in polling oftentimes. For instance, in this 4 years ago election between Romney and Obama, the exit polls showed that more people thought that Obama cared about them than Romney did. And that goes a long way. Believe me, it does. Because as I've said over and over and over again, since day one, 6 years ago, that politics is a lot like professional wrestling. And part of the reason why is it is appealing on that emotional level and the level of good versus evil. I'm for you. The other guy is against you. That is the theme that we are repeatedly hearing in this campaign, that's for sure. I mean, that's pretty much all we're hearing now from the candidates about one another, is that I'm for you and they are against you. And anyway, he was there yesterday. He seemed to be well received at the church. He wasn't booed. He wasn't heckled. He was applauded. And he looks like he could use a little. Let's just say he ain't quite got rhythm. they were singing, you know, and he was kind of trying to sway with the music and stuff, and he He was a little too reserved to cut loose. Let's put it that way. He wasn't going to raise his hands and swing his hips, but he did sway with the music, and he did. The pastor gave him a prayer cloak, and his response was, "I feel better already," and which is classic Trump, right? But nonetheless, he did go there. And I do think that, especially if he's persistent and consistent with this effort to reach out to the black community, I think there's fertile ground there. I really do. Because they're not, black people aren't blind. I mean, no people aren't blind to their situation. And there's a lot of truth in what Trump says about violence and high unemployment and the lack of good educations for black people, even after, 60 years now of liberal efforts, the Great Society, LBJ's Great Society. And I think he should do this. I think every week there should be an appearance somewhere where he meets with, whatever city he's in, that he meets with the black community in that city, the black leaders. And he doesn't have to be out giving rallies. He could just meet with the leaders. He could do what he did yesterday. That would be cool, too. But I think it's fertile ground. Here's a lesson that the Republicans should learn. This is how you do it. You actually go into the black churches, you actually go into the black communities, and you speak to these people en masse. And I'm not just talking about going to the meetings like the National Convention of the NAACP or something like that. I'm talking about doing what Trump did yesterday. He went into a church where it seats about 300 people. And he participated in a worship service with them. This is how you do it. This is how you reach out. This is how you touch into a community and you can affect it. And hopefully, in this sense, in a positive way. So hopefully they will keep that up. When we come back, meantime, the news out of the Hillary Clinton camp is the notes that the FBI released at 3 o'clock Friday afternoon on a holiday weekend that have to do with her interview at the FBI, which evidently is standard operating procedure that they don't have transcripts or tapes. Seems kind of like crime fighting in the, 18th century? 19th century? Anyway, we'll be back with the 21st century, 6-year-old American Adversaries Classic Edition. But anyway, all right, 407-774-8255 is the number. Yeah, Hillary's notes from the FBI investigate the interview came out the other day. Aubrey was just telling me, though, that Apple is trying to ride to her rescue. How's that again?
Well, people devise these games that come out as apps.
Right.
And, Apple have allowed games like Punch Trump, Slap Donald Trump and Smack a Trump into the marketplace. Now, using the same criteria and the same vetting process, a game called Hide It Hillary was submitted to the Apple Store and also to Android.
Uh-huh.
It took Android half an hour to accept it and allow downloads. But according to Apple, they banned it because it includes content that could be considered defamatory or mean-spirited.
Defamatory, yes.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's the South African version of it.
So, whichever.
But so they pulled it, huh?
They banned it outright. They wouldn't even let it be sold at all.
I see. They didn't even allow it up to begin with. Got you.
Bless their darling hearts. They're like Google.
Well, and I don't feel so bad about them getting stung for $14.5 billion the other day by the Eurozone, the European Union, I should say.
You didn't feel a thing in the first place,
nor did
I.
That's right. That's right. It'll all be in the price of the next phone.
It is.
That's right. That's how it works. So Hillary's, I know this sounds like, okay, it's more of the same. But this is damning stuff what the FBI released Friday, which is why they released it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Labor Day weekend, right before the campaign kicks off.
They're protecting Hillary.
They're trying to, but it still is coming out, and it's damning because, first of all, you know, it goes right to the heart of her argument of why she should be president. And by the way, it seems to be in the polling the overriding reason why people are supporting her for president. In particular, people who might otherwise vote for Donald Trump. Republicans who might be voting for Hillary Clinton. Independents who might be voting for Hillary Clinton. Even some Democrats who might be voting for Hillary Clinton. They are voting for her because they think she is more ready to be president, more capable of being president than Donald Trump. They don't like either one of them, but when worse comes to worse, they think she's more ready for the job, okay? And so they're simply looking at her resume going, okay, she's worked in the government, she was in the White House, she was a senator, she was a secretary of state, he's been a businessman. Okay, she has the qualifications, he doesn't, she gets the job, he doesn't. It's kind of more or less that cut and dry. But the point I'm getting to here is that these interview notes from the FBI totally undercut that argument. First of all, it addresses the health issue. It doesn't address it. It brings it up. Of course, we've been addressing it here on the show. And by the way, we're going to put a front page, if you will, a home page link on our website to VidZet. So people can go see that video on why we think Hillary has Parkinson's disease, why we're challenging them to prove us wrong. Because she uses as an excuse as to why she couldn't remember being briefed about how the protocols and how to handle high security, top security, and classified documents and information, and when and where you could and could not use your mobile devices, what she couldn't remember. Why? Because she had a concussion. And this wasn't she couldn't remember before. This was she couldn't remember at the interview, which was what? Just a month and a half ago? So she's admitting that she still has residual effects from the concussion. Okay, so she's already admitting a health problem, a health issue. She cannot remember certain things because of the concussion. All right,
we know that's a lie.
Well, of course we know all of this is a lie. I'm just simply taking her at her own words and saying that this, at her own words, undercuts her argument. When it comes to the drone program, they asked her, why were you so cavalier and so freewheeling with the information about the drone program? And her response was, well, I thought it was just routine. In other words, she thought that one of our top secret, most secret programs to fight terrorism was just routine, common knowledge, everybody knew. Yeah, I understand we get the announcements of certain people being killed in drone strikes and things, but where they're located and schedules and such as that she was flinging around, why? She thought that was just, you know, regular routine knowledge too.
It is now.
Unfortunately, some of it is. And by the way, this is parts of the things that are redacted. And the notes I'm talking about, not just the emails. And it goes on. She didn't have just one. Remember, she said, all I could handle was one device. She had 12, at least. At least
12 or 13 BlackBerries and I think it was 5 or 3 iPads, and the majority were destroyed using hammers by her lawyers.
Yeah, if you want to count the iPads, you got almost 20, exactly. And you're right, not all of them, but some of them evidently were destroyed after they had been bleached, bitted or whatever. Then they were destroyed by a hammer, and the SIM card, that little SIM card that basically has all your information on it, those were destroyed too. And a lot of this was done.
She had nothing to hide.
And a lot of this was done after things were requested by the congressional oversight committees. So she was destroying evidence. She and her cohorts, like Uma Abedin and Cheryl Mills, and I can't remember the guy's name, Josh.
Josh Ernest?
No, he's the.
He was press secretary.
No, yeah, it's another Josh guy. His name will come to me in a minute.
But you know the interesting thing about Cheryl Mills?
What's that?
She was allowed to be there during the FBI interview.
Yeah, well, because she's a lawyer, and she's also one of Hillary Clinton's lawyers. And therefore, she was also, she was sitting right over Hillary Clinton's shoulder in the Benghazi hearings as well.
And she was the mastermind of the Clinton email cover-up.
Yes. She's one of the cohorts. She's one of the insiders. And so, and because she has this lawyer-client privilege, you know, it's a nice little crime syndicate, if you will. And but people, you know, as I said, this undercuts her argument that she is the one who's more competent, the more capable. Now, because it did come out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Labor Day weekend, it is not going to get the kind of attention it should get unless the Trump campaign makes sure it does. And so far, they've been pretty good at doing things like that. But let's see what they do with this, and hopefully they won't get, you know, sidetracked into something else. But this is, it cuts, as I said, it just cuts right to her argument and to why a lot of people are supporting her, as to her, as I said, capability, her preparedness for the job. By the way, ABC's got a poll out. I'm sure many of you have seen it or heard of it. Her unfavorability has gone up 6 points, and this is before these last week or so of revelations has come out. So once again, it'll go up. So her support is soft out there. 24% in a CBS poll say they're settling. They're in other words, they're not really enthusiastic, but they'll vote for one side or the other. This is one, however, that is a true soft spot for Hillary Clinton's support, which hopefully Donald Trump's campaign will notice and exploit, because this could really doom her. 46% of the people believe she is less believable since she's, the more she opens her mouth about her excuses about the email, the less they people believe her.
That's why she hasn't done interviews for almost a year.
Right. And the pretty much the same margin think that she cares more about her donors and herself than they do about them. And that one right there is a killer. It could be a killer. However, going for her amongst college-educated whites, she's now up 14%, whereas Romney won that group by 14%. All I can say is they must have learned a whole lot of liberal gibberish while they were there.
Right.
Let's go to Mike on the line before we take a break. Mike, thanks for calling.
Hey, Chris. Have you happened to listen to Bill Clinton's State of the Union Address 1995 on illegal aliens?
Yes. Yeah, we have heard parts of it. Yeah, we're going to be talking about that some when the life of people come on tonight.
The term illegal alien is such a no-no, but yet he uses it over and over again on that speech.
And he talks about all the same problems that we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the
right.
Federal government, whenever they talk about it on any of their documents, they refer to them as illegal aliens.
It's the, for now, anyway, yes, you're correct. That's, they still have that on there. But if Hillary Clinton gets elected, you can damn well bet the farm that that sort of thing is going to disappear off those forms and documents. Hey, Mike, I tell you what, since you're the first caller of our first show for our 6 year plus, I'm going to give you a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano if you want it. Stay on the line
All right.
Give your information to Jeff, and we'll mail that out to you right away.
All right. Thanks.
Congratulations. Thank you for calling. Excellent
point.
No problem. All right. When we come back, we got a special treat for you. So stick around. The American Adversary Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour started 6 years ago tonight. That's right. Right here on WORL FM 660. That's right. When we come back, like I say, got a special treat for you to stick around. And we're live until 8 o'clock. That's right.
Bad, 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 bad. Let's get ready to mumble! Welcome to the American Adversaries. I'm Lair Adams.
And I'm Christopher Hart. Hey, Lair, before we begin, we would like to thank Lonnie Perkins for that great introduction. And, hey, Mike Frazier for that great lead into our show. Great show, Mike. And we would like to invite Mike's audience to stick around, as well as any of you who happen to be tuning in to hear the Hugh Hewitt Show. Right, Lair?
Well, of course. Remember, we're live on 660 WRL right here in beautiful Altamont Springs.
That's right, Lair. And if you would like to be a part of the show, just call us right now at 407-774-8255. That's 407-774-TALK.
I love that number. Don't forget to mention that we're streaming live at www.worl660.com.
I won't.
Oh, good. Listen, before we preview our show, let's explain quickly, why do we call our show the American Adversaries?
You know what, Lair, while we're at it, we better explain our references to professional wrestling.
Well, that's great. Chris, why don't you go ahead and get us started?
Well, to begin with, we call ourselves the American Adversaries, simply put, because we live in an adversarial form of government that our forefathers designed as such on purpose.
Well, perfect. But again, that really doesn't describe adversaries. You know, when I hear the word adversaries, it kind of, you know, sounds a little brutal.
Well, it may sound brutal, but in actuality, our forefathers designed this government this way so that we could prevent tyranny. Tyranny of one person or a few people. Because you see, an adversarial system is the last best check against tyrannical power.
Well, power is something that we always need to keep in check. You and I have discussed why we put our show together. Adversaries usually means two different thoughts, two different ideas coming together, correct?
That's exactly right. You know, our forefathers, they did their homework, Larry. Many of them were what they called back then learned men. That means that they went to the equivalent of colleges or universities, and they had studied science and philosophy, like Ben Franklin. And they had studied the Greek philosophers, and the Greek philosophers said that there were two things about our world that never change. One is the world is constantly changing. The other is that our world is the result of the commingling, or as they put it, the conflict of opposites. Kind of like, you know, big government versus small government.
Well, and the differences in ideas. Now, just to make people, or let people understand, we're not talking you have to be all one way, all the other, or that's where the decision is. Sometimes it is. Oh, neither Chris nor I really like the middle of the road or the moderate attitude because it's kind of wimpy. It's wussy. You can't make a decision. But sometimes the middle is where the answer is.
That's right, Larry. A moderate's a person who can't make up their mind, so all they do is they just sway back and forth in the wind. But, you know, the Greeks and our forefathers, they understood that opposites are never pure. You know, the opposites are everywhere around us. You have hot, cold, left, right, love, hate, good, evil, and they're never pure. They're always somewhere fluctuating in the middle. And so what they wanted was a governmental system that would fluctuate around the middle by different parties fighting their causes.
Okay, so I think what we're really trying to get out, Chris, is the word adversaries, the meaning of the word adversaries is not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes it is a necessary thing.
As a matter of fact, we should be proud to be adversaries. You know, and Larry, you and I aren't just the only American adversaries.
Oh, no.
Everybody who lives as a citizen in this country is an American adversary because we live in an adversarial form of government.
Go ahead. I was just going to say that so many people try to get out of that by playing in the middle of the road.
Well, you know, we hear all these calls for bipartisanship. Oh, why can't we all just get along? You know, bipartisanship, it is an illusion. Just look at the elections. What people really want is they want their side to win. They want to see their guy beat the snot out of the other guy.
Whether they're right or wrong.
Usually that's the case. But really, you know, a really good adversary is one who is constantly vigilant in the intellectual realm, constantly looking for the truth.
So, personally, I had written this up, and to me, the idea of adversary is really nothing more than clarity. Clarity about a subject. It may be one person's opinion of it against the other person's opinion of it, but the clarity in the middle, it goes totally against political correctness, which I hate.
That's right. You know, it's not just our government that our forefathers designed as an adversarial system. They also designed our judicial system as an adversarial system.
Absolutely.
And that's the one place where we really try to get to the bottom of the truth, right?
Absolutely.
Well, when you walk into a courtroom and you see Lady Justice, what's she holding in her hand?
She's holding scales that are hopefully equally balanced.
Well, maybe not equally balanced, but you whoever has the preponderance, whoever has the better argument. You see, as adversaries, it's up to us, just as in the judicial system, to hear both sides, or as many sides as there are, become as informed as we can, and then make judgments on our own.
Well, I noticed that you have actually stressed that this whole thing is based on what? Rights from?
Our Creator.
Yes.
You see, once again, our forefathers, they did their studying, and there was a group of philosophers in the 1700s, they were called the nature philosophers. And they came up with the idea that our rights don't come from a king or a parliament or anything like that. They come from our very own Creator.
Absolutely.
And then just one last point on this subject. The adversarial form of government really was meant to prevent tyranny by one person or a few people. But there's also another kind of tyranny, Larry. That's tyranny of the majority. And our forefathers decided that this government would be a republic, not a democracy, to prevent tyranny of the majority. To them, freedom was of utmost importance.
Well, absolutely. And we're going to have to switch over. We're running out of time to talk about our connection to wrestling. But the thing that I think that we really, like you said earlier, we're all American adversaries. We've got to be.
Each and every one of us. And it's up to us to be the best adversary we can be. And that doesn't mean being uncivil to one another, by the way.
That's what we're getting into next. Our connection with professional wrestling.
This is my favorite
part.
Bring
a chair. No, it's not that.
No, we're dead serious about this, folks. The way we see it, politics is a whole lot like professional wrestling. First and all, you have all the posturing and theatrics that go on. The good guy versus the bad guy.
Also, you got the grand stage or the ring, and really, that's where the real decisions are made, and it's behind the scenes.
No, that's right, Larry. The stage is where all the show goes on. That's where the big show goes on. It's either the ring in wrestling or it's the political arena in politics. But the real decisions are actually made on the other side of the curtain where none of us get to see.
Oh, you don't mean that if politics could be just as theatrical as professional wrestling?
Oh, God.
Never.
Have you ever heard of a guy named Alan Grayson?
Republicans want you to die. Yes,
oh, he's great, but he's a great example of what we're talking about here. The guy is, let's face it, he's full of a lot of bluster and a lot of posturing, but hey, it scores him a lot of points. He's in the media all the time. He's raising money left and right for Republicans as well as Democrats, and we love a guy like that. You know, he really is playing the role.
And like you say, the media, they are the ones that make sure that we have the correct storyline that they're trying to present.
That's right. We got all this posturing and yelling and theatrics going on. We got the show going on in the ring and everything. So the media is there, thankfully, to help us understand what's going on. They're there to tell us what we're seeing and tell us what we're supposed to think about it.
Absolutely. And folks, we want to tell you right now that this show, it's going to be a little bit tougher than most because we will be talking about some uncomfortable subjects, but we have to. And our goal is to be positive. And this going to be that positiveness is going to be progress, I think, for this country.
Absolutely. Hey, one of the reasons that our forefathers set this government up the way they did, once again, they did their homework. They knew that this form of government could last.
Absolutely. Chris, we got a break coming up, but before we go, Guy, we need to give the audience a preview of our show.
Oh, gosh, you mean how we're going to talk about me kissing Barack Obama?
Well, yeah, I guess so. And how we're going to review the upcoming local and national elections. And how we're going to discuss the Ground Zero Mosque, which I have another word for it.
Oh, that's great. You want us to jump into shark-infested waters right away.
Sure. Absolutely. But I guess your girlfriend was kind of wondering about that kiss nonsense.
Oh, yeah, my girlfriend Jenny. Oh, hi, Jenny. She's been looking at me awfully very oddly all week.
It's easy for you to say. Sure thing, Chris. Remember, folks, if you want to be part of the show, just call us at 407-774-8255. That's 407-774-TALK.
Hey, Larry, don't forget to mention our web address, which is under construction, by the way, which is www.americanadversariesradio.com, and that we're streaming live at www.worl660.com.
That's right, folks. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with more more of the American Adversaries with Lair Adams and Chris Hart.
And you're listening to News Talk 660 WORL.
You know, Chris, I do believe that is my favorite talk radio station. How about yours?
You better believe it. I listen to it all the time.
Plus, we'll be right back, and more American Adversaries on the way.
A little treat for you a little bit later on in the show. Actually, at the end of the show, we're gonna play you the end of that very first show, the very last little bit of it. And then we'll wrap it up, of course, with a song by Lloyd Marcus. And by the way, I want to remind you that several events coming up, and they're coming up fast, actually starting this week on Wednesday night. I mean, now we're going to be off tomorrow night. It's Labor Day. And the studios will all be closed and everything. But then, of course, we'll be back to do the show Tuesday. And Wednesday, we'll be doing the show live from Cafe Positano, where we're going to have a spaghetti-eating contest. And Aubrey Kahn's going to be there.
I'm going to do my best.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, we're going to be there having a whole lot of fun. So we'd like you to come out and join us. And if you'd like to make a reservation, by the way, then I made a reservation actually for us the other day, and I could see they already had a handful of them in there. So if you'd like to make a reservation for Wednesday or any time, as a matter of fact, day or night at Cafe Positano, you can call them at 407-774-8080. That's 407-774-8080 for Cafe Positano. And just a quick reminder, they're located approximately four miles west of I-4 on State Road 436. And if you need better directions, just call them at 407-774-8080. And I'd love to see you there for that. And then Saturdays, I was mentioning Lloyd Marcus, Saturday the 10th, over at the Ocean Center in Daytona Beach. And by the way, admission is free. He's putting together a Blue Lives Matter celebration, which will include a performance by himself. He's got a comedian there. He's got a bunch of radio show hosts who will be speaking. Heather McDonald, the author of The War on Cops, will either be there or have a video presentation there for just this event. And so you're invited to come to that. And if you'd like to find out more and feel like you can make a contribution to help him out, you can do that at LloydMarcus.com. But the event itself is free. You don't need tickets. Just show up at the Ocean Center, Daytona Beach, LloydMarcus.com. I'll be there for that. And then, of course, Monday, we have the Decision 2016 America in the Balance Tour coming right here to Orlando, featuring Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, John Voight, and myself. That's right. I'll be part of the action while they're here. And you're invited to that. And there'll be a roundtable discussion with all the fellas and myself, and that will be free. And that begins at 12:30 on Monday the 12th at the Lake Mary Event Center. You do need a ticket, though, but that free ticket is at waiting for you at am660theanswer.com. Or if you'd like to meet all the fellas up close and get your photograph with them and that sort of thing, you can get a VIP ticket, and those are $35 each. And that VIP reception begins at 11:30. And you can, once again, get those tickets at am660theanswer.com. You do not have to attend the VIP reception to come to the free event, but if you do choose to come to the VIP reception, you will get VIP seating in the main event. That's at am660theanswer.com, and that's 1 week from tomorrow. So over this next week, we got three great events for you to choose from. All right, we got Paul on the line, and by the way, we're here, we're live now. That little last segment, that was pre-recorded, obviously. We did that 6 years ago live. That was our first foray into this, but we're here now, 407-774-8255. Paul, thank you for calling tonight.
Well, congratulations, Chris.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a part of your show now for about a year, and I've really enjoyed calling in and abusing you guys, and you've taken it pretty good, so.
Hey, I love it.
We're masochists.
Bring it on.
We love abuse.
That's right. That's right. We were sadomasochists because we like dishing it out, too. But thank you very much, Paul. I really appreciate that.
And in your honor, I hope you don't mind, but, you know, I'd like to get into radio, too. And you know how Gomer Pyle was a spinoff from the Andy Griffith Show?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'd like to have my show as kind of a spinoff of yours. I'm going to call it the National American Adversarial Advocates.
I like that.
You'd have to go to a break straight after announcing the show.
That's a mouthful, but I like it.
Hey, Paul. We're going to go for an audience, you know, like Monday they call up, they say it's too hot. Wednesday they call up, they say it's too cold. We're going for the vacillator audience. And
there you go. They're out there. They're out there. We're seeing a lot of them in this election, as a matter of fact. Well, Paul, I want to thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hopefully I can meet you at one of our events coming up. All right. Yeah, 407-774-8255 is the number. That's right. This is episode, or edition, I should say, number 300 of our Sunday night shows. And we're over 1,100 on our weekday show now, of course. And as I said, we'll be off tomorrow, but we'll be back Tuesday. And then it's rammed right on home through Election Day. And it's going to be a big one. By the way, voting begins actually in like 22 days. Voting begins before the first debate in a handful of states, the Dakotas and I believe Minnesota. Before the first debate, the people are going to be going and voting.
Now,
that's ridiculous.
Is it going to be a real debate, or is it going to be the Matt Lauer format?
Well, we do know that the hosts, now Matt Lauer is going to be conducting the forum, which is Wednesday night this week on NBC, starting at 8 o'clock. So you got enough time to come over and join us for the spaghetti eating contest and then go home and catch this if you want to. But at 8 o'clock, the forum begins. He'll have an hour with Hillary and then a separate hour, not together, but a separate hour in the same location with Donald Trump.
Right, an hour of trying to build Hillary up and an hour of trying to break Trump down.
We will see. Presumably that's the plan. If there is any modicum of fairness, they will both get the same questions and the same, let's just say, follow-ups.
Hold on, Chris. Modicum of fairness? You're talking about Laura, a member of the Clinton Global Initiative?
Yes. Well, hopefully he will mention that at the beginning of it. I highly doubt it, though.
Yeah, in a pig's eye.
Yeah. Lester Holt will be the moderator of the first debate by himself. And for the second debate, that will be a classic debate, and it hasn't been determined if the candidates will be standing up or sitting down.
Or whether Hillary will attend or not.
Or whatever. But evidently it looks like it's a go. At this point, it appears this is like a NASA launching a rocket, and of course we saw what happened to that one the other day, right? But, you know, at this point, all systems appear to be go. For the first debate, it'd be Lester Holt on that Sunday night up against the NFL. And then the next debate would be a town hall type debate, which would be moderated by Anderson Cooper and Aunt Hagatha, Martha Raddatz from ABC. And the final debate would be moderated by Chris Wallace. And so that's the plan at this point.
And all of these guys are strong Hillary supporters.
For the most part.
Yeah.
So we'll see. However, at the end of the day, it's I believe, going to be all about Trump. And I believe that this election is, even though he's the underdog right now, I believe it's his to win. I believe that people would prefer someone besides Hillary Clinton, and all he has to do is show that he can be acceptable to that crowd. And I think he is on his way to doing that. We shall see. As I said, the polls have tightened significantly. He does have this problem with so-called educated white people or people with college degrees. The colleges have been very effective at turning their brains into mush. But hopefully he can overcome even some of them and overcome their fears, so to speak. So we'll see as this goes along. But I do think it's his to win. I think that this thing is let's just say the door is open. Even though the electoral map is stacked against him, I think the door is open. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We have Sherry on the line right now. Sherry, thank you for calling tonight. You were one of the very first 6 years ago, young lady.
No, well, no, Bamboo Bob was the first.
He was the very first, yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And he stuck around. I don't know whatever happened to Bamboo Bob. We used to run into him at that political rallies of the sort, but haven't seen him for years. Me too. Somebody told me he moved.
Not in bad health or anything. Listen, you really pulled one over on me.
How's that?
I had to go up and go to another part of my house.
Why?
Well, I had to go do something.
Oh, okay.
And I'm coming back, and I'm hearing Lair on the radio, and I said, oh, my gosh, what a great way to celebrate your six-year anniversary. I never heard any kind of introduction.
Right.
That this was the first part of your show 6 years ago.
Right.
You know, well, and I'm sitting there, I'm really enjoying it, and it sounded like it was happening right then. It didn't sound like one of those old recordings, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
It was so clear.
Yep.
And then you went on break, and you came back, and you go... Okay, that was what it was 6 years ago, and I thought, oh, man, how stupid was I?
Hey, I guess, though, that says something for about how decent we were back then, that we could still mistake it for today.
Just like you do today, man.
Well, I appreciate it, and by the way, Lair's going to be there on Wednesday night, ladies and gentlemen, at our spaghetti eating contest.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he couldn't make it tonight.
Well, tell him I said hello, and I hope Mrs. Adams is doing okay.
Yeah, last report, she was fine. Yep.
Good.
And,
yeah.
But, yeah, I will definitely tell him that. And, yeah.
I thought he was back in the studio just for, you know, for the night, for the celebration.
He kind of was.
And, oh, yeah, he was. But, yeah. You know.
We'll give you another little taste of it at the end of the show tonight. We're going to have the end of that first show as the end of our show tonight.
Well, you know, so. I didn't get it all. I wish some other time you would play that thing all over.
Okay, we'll try to do that. Yeah, I was going to actually start the show off with it tonight and kind of really throw everybody, but the Rays post-game show was on, so that kind of we had to kind of move it back.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Hey, all right, I appreciate it, Sherry.
Congratulations on six great years.
Thank you so much, and thank you ever so much for being there.
Okay.
For every minute of it. Thank you. Yeah, okay. All right. Tim is on the line, too. Tim, thank you for calling tonight.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We really do appreciate it.
And to all the new family members that have joined along the way, like Aubrey. And,
yeah. McBath and Colonel McBath, McKnight. Yeah.
And Dr. K. And
yeah.
Everybody. But I will say this.
What's that?
You guys did a lot of heavy breathing that first night. You could hear it in the microphones going.
I know it. We did.
So
we did that for a while, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
But you have improved, and that's all part of growing.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point of it. And, we're still here anyway, and we're still plugging away. And
one of my favorite shows of all time.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Tim. That means a lot. We really do appreciate you being out there and being a member of the American Adversaries Army, you and Sherry and Diane and others. That really helps out a lot. And
well, we get some more members. Anybody out there should just sign up tonight.
Yep. Yep.
Anniversary present.
There you go. Good idea.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you, Tim.
All right.
All right. Yep. Bye-bye. Thanks so much. And maybe we'll see you Wednesday night. And Tim always tries to make it out to our events. We really do appreciate that. And he and his wife, Mary Ann. All right. We're running out of time in this segment of the show, but we got more callers on the line. I want you to stick around with us. Let's see. Yep. Steve Gushov is in the bullpen warming up. He's, of course, with Legal Immigrants for America. We're going to be talking about Trump's speech last week and his appearance in Mexico. So we got a lot to talk about tonight. So stick around. And 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget, our official celebration of our anniversary is Wednesday at Cafe Positano, live remote broadcast, complete with spaghetti eating contest and everything.
Everything.
Come on out and join us, please.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
All right, welcome back to hour number two of show number 300. That's right, folks. We're here. We're still here, I should say, after 6 years. The American Adversaries, now Sunday evening, three-hour classic edition. All right, I am Christopher Hart. In the studio with me still is Aubrey Kahn.
Why? We don't know.
who now also hosts his own show here. Talk about a spinoff for the American Adversaries, sort of. I mean, it's not really, but because of us, you're here, and because of you being here, you're now doing this show called Talk to the Experts every Saturday live at 1 o'clock, or usually live at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And they do a great job. If you have any questions about home ownership, buying, selling, taking care of, tearing down, rebuilding, whatever. All right, talking about rebuilding, rebuilding trust in the American system and hopefully rebuilding the security of our borders are the Legal Immigrants for America. And that organization is a great organization. We got Steve Gushaw, the director, here with us this evening. Steve, good to see you again.
Good to see you again, sir, and congratulations. 6 years, it's been awesome. It's an honor and a privilege for LIFA to be here on this show. And I got to tell you, Chris, you fooled me, along with a lot of other people. As I was driving over here, I heard Lair's voice, and I thought, wow, Lair's back in the studio. That's awesome. I'll get to say hi to him. Well played, sir.
I hope I didn't get him in trouble tonight.
Chris, you know what Steve's just admitted to?
What's that?
He doesn't listen to the whole show.
No.
Because I only live 10 minutes away. I'm sitting in the car.
No. Because, see, we surprised people. All I said
was... Yeah, he just said it was a surprise.
I said cameo appearance. Yeah. I didn't say it was going to be live or recorded, right?
So you got me.
I got a lot of
And other
people.
Listeners, too.
All right. So I'm probably going to get a red belly out of all this myself. By the way, I just got a text from one of our mutual friends, all three of us, Daria and Monroe.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Daria. She is sending her congratulations as well. She's out there listening. We do appreciate her so very much. She does great things for our community.
She does a wonderful job with adoption.
You know, and I've said this on the show a number of times, and I haven't changed my mind, and I'm sure I'll say this right on through as long as I keep doing this. The coolest part about this show is the people that I meet. From the people who listen to the show, to the people we have on the show, to the people who are now co-hosts on the show, like you guys. And it's all because of this show. And it's kind of interesting to have seen sort of the ripple or chain effect when we first started the show, we had Ed and Mary Ganster on the show, Operation Safety 91. They introduced Nostra Dennis, and I went to a seminar where Colonel Danny McKnight was giving a presentation. We got him to come on the show. When he was on the show, Mike McBath was driving down the road listening to the show. So he calls the show because he wants to talk with he actually invited all of us, including Colonel McKnight, to one of the NFL player meetings.
This is like the 6 degrees of Chris Hart here.
And it just keeps cascading and cascading, and it's Chris Hart's Wild Adventure, or Crazy Adventure was the name of that movie, right? So anyway, Steve's going to – we got a lot to talk about with him, but we do have some other callers, and 407-774-8255 is the number. JJ is up next. JJ, thanks for calling tonight.
Hey, guys. Congratulations on your 6th anniversary. Job well done.
Thank you very, very much. Yeah. Appreciate that.
And who's the other guy you have on there that wrote Dark Winter? He's an excellent guest.
John L. Casey. John L. Casey. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
And you're Dr. Ted Noel of late.
Dr. Ted Noel. Yep, that's right.
Yeah, I didn't get to. Actually, a nurse said she retired a year later, but she told me about you guys back in February 2011. So definitely have enjoyed listening to your show and the games that Mike McBath adds every week. And
he's something, isn't he?
Yeah,
I'll tell you, he's got a knack for stirring things up.
I have to agree with Tim out there. You guys were talking, we're both talking real fast, maybe a little nervous first show. but and you sounded 6 years younger.
I feel anyway. 6 years older, that's for sure. But, we were jacked up that night, that's for sure.
Yeah, I had a few too many cups of coffee. No. Listen, you said something earlier real quick about, you know, you feel like it's Trump to lose. And I agree with you if things are played fair and square. But on Friday, I don't know if it was you or Dr. Vihek that said, was reporting about the North Carolina not having to show the license now. The lower court was going to stand. And I thought, well, there goes that state for Hillary. I mean, I'm worried they're going to try to steal the election big time.
Well, a lot of people worried about it. I'm concerned about it, too. Steve, did you know what she's talking about?
Absolutely. Yeah. And someone else that's very concerned about it is Roger Stone, who's advising Trump on the campaign. And he goes all the way back to the days of Tricky Dick Nixon. So anybody knows about election and election fraud, it's Roger Stone. And he said the same thing. I was on a conference call with him recently, and he said that the Democrats, they're already trying to steal it. And let me give you an example. This happened to me on Tuesday. Tuesday, I went to go vote. I am in Orange County. And I went to the voting location, a church over in Maitland. And you know how it is, you go, they got the little tablet, and they take your driver's license. They swiped it, so they swiped my driver's license. Sorry, sir, the system comes up blank. You're not in the system. I said, whoa.
Right.
I said, I am in the system. I have voted every single time, primaries, general elections, every time in Florida as long as I've been here. Huh, well, it comes up blank. You're not registered. I said, swipe it again. Swipes it a second time. I'm sorry, sir, he shows me the tag. It's just blank. You're not registered in the system. I hold up my cell phone. I say, sir, and I understand it's not really his fault. I said, sir, you do that one more time. If that comes up blank one more time, I'm calling up, number one, the supervisor of elections in Orange County, number two, the police, because I'm in that system, and this is voter fraud. If you don't get me a ballot and get me registered right now, I'm not putting up with this. Swipes it the third time. Oh, well, there you are.
How about
that? We found you. Third time's a charm.
How about that?
But how many people would just slink out after the first or the second time? Oh, I must have forgotten to register. I said, no way. I am not budging. No fraud this time, bub.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, can I just, am I still on?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I had to go to three different places to vote the other day. And I thought by one block, my other side of I-4, my street, votes in the same place. But now suddenly I'm at another place. And I went to the place I used to. Nobody was there. I went to the other place that I sometimes voted. And they said, oh, you know, because of the redistricting. And I thought, there are people that will not have time to go.
That very good point, because I don't know where you live, JJ, but in Maitland, it's the same thing. And Maitland's a wonderful community. And many, I like Maitland, but, you know, it's been at the Civic Center, and then it was somewhere else after the Civic Center, and now it was at a church. And so it's been three different places three different times. And you'll get a lot of people that will be confused because they go to the first place, and they just give up and don't want to start looking around or calling to see what it is. Three different elections, three different places. And that confuses
Trump
people.
The campaign needs to tell people, be sure to note the location is probably changed so that you don't get frustrated.
Absolutely. And I would actually encourage all listeners to do that because, again, in Maitland, they went from the Civic Center to the Shriners Temple. Now, the Shriners Temple has been sold and closed to the church. So three places, three times. And how many voters? Because here's the thing, Chris. I was over there about noontime right before a board of directors meeting. I was the only one voting.
You were the only woman?
The only one. The only one. You didn't understand my Boston accent there. And I talked to the, and so I was talking to the guys because the Shriners were actually running, and they actually did a very good job. I don't blame them for anything.
Right.
But they said I was only the 24th person all day. 5 hours from 7 a.m. to 12, I was only 24th person to vote.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, for all their protestations to the contrary, the Democrats want to limit people's voting, and that's what really they're all about. In terms of that North Carolina thing, the Supreme Court decided 4-4 that they weren't going to hear the case, so they did. So they let the lower court ruling stand in place. The lower court ruling was based on what I call blatant racism. They're basically saying them poor black folk, why they too dumb and too stupid and too lazy to have to go out and get an ID, right?
Yeah.
Like the rest of us can. Right?
So apparently, Chris, it's okay if I have to show my photo ID at Walmart or Target or Publix or TSA, but not to vote, understand.
See, we can't consider if you're a black person that you're smart enough to be able to understand you can use that same ID, you see. See, that's
they
the that's the that's the argument that they're making. Yes, they do. And the argument they're making is these poor folk can't be expected to have to be held to the same standards as the rest of us when that standard is simply a photo ID.
But then Donald Trump goes to a black church in Detroit and upsets the apple cart on them.
He does.
But you know what else is interesting? They can disenfranchise you from buying cigarettes and alcohol.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right, too. And by the way, the federal government has announced that if you're out there and you plan on getting one of those medical marijuana cards, you might give up. You might just want to forget about buying a gun because they will use that as an excuse not to sell you a gun because as far as the federal government is concerned, it's still a crime.
Yes, marijuana is illegal.
Right. So your marijuana medical marijuana card announces to the federal government that you are breaking the law, and they will hold it against you. Hey, thanks for the call, JJ. Appreciate you being out there, too. And Diane is up next, and her dog wants to have something to say.
Woof, woof.
Diane, thank you for calling tonight. I appreciate you holding there.
Hey, Chris, congratulations. It's been an awesome ride, and I've met some amazing people through your radio show, to include JJ and Tim.
That's it. You know, that it's not just me who gets the opportunity to meet a whole bunch of cool new people. It's you listeners out there, too. And that's what Diane is talking about. And it's been a great pleasure knowing you and Jim, Diane. And thank you for your thoughts and wishes. And we appreciate it.
And having Lair on, that was to die for. That was an amazing thing.
You know, I wanted to do something, and I thought, why not? Hey, first show. And we'll just lay it out there. And, you know, I had never listened to that until just now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
In
6 years. Wow. In 6 years, I've probably listened to about a dozen of our shows.
Oh.
And it's interesting, too, because when I've done it, I can't stop.
You're addicted to your voice.
Yeah, so that's why I kind of don't do it. And but it's when I listen, I'm thinking to myself, doggone, we're not half bad at all. So, Diane, thank you so much for being out there, and thanks for supporting us by being in the American Adversaries Army. And
no, thank you so very, very much.
All right.
Love you guys.
All right. Love you, too. All right. Okay. We'll be right back, and Steve is going to give us an update on what the life has been doing. We're going to talk some Trump, and we'll talk to you if you'd like to call us. So please don't go away.
Ladies and gentlemen, 6 years of faithful listenership and participation. We appreciate that so much. Even though I'm somewhat of a newcomer here, and only in my third year, I feel very much part of the family. And thank you once again from the bottom of our hearts for being out there. So once again, here's our host, Christopher Hart.
All right. Thank you, Aubrey. And yeah, without Aubrey Kahn, folks, we wouldn't be here because Aubrey Kahn is a sponsor of the show. And this show relies on sponsors and members of the American Adversaries Army to help us make the bills, help us pay the rent, so to speak. We rent the airtime, so to speak. We rent this studio.
And you can also become a sponsor of the show.
That's right.
It's very simple. Just give Chris a call.
Call the call-in number. Give the information.
Give the information. And
that oftentimes happens.
Open your heart.
Yeah.
Your checkbook.
There you go.
You'll be more than welcome.
That's right. And, you know, Pasquale Barba has been sponsoring this show 5.5 years, right? And he's been a great sponsor. And LIFA is also a sponsor
Absolutely.
Of the show, Legal Immigrants for America.
Honored to do so.
Yeah. So thanks for that. Aubrey and LIFA, okay, Legal Immigrants for America. And you can, by the way, folks, you can find out more by going to golifa.com, golifa.com, golifa.com. What have you been up to the past week or two?
Chris, let me tell you, it is a sprint from now to November 8th for Legal Immigrants for America. It's hard to find a day between now and Election Day where we don't have an event or a media call or a speaking engagement. It is incredible. This past week, we were up in Mount Dora. We spoke to the Kiwanis Club at the Mount Dora Country Club. Friday and Saturday, we were over at the Convention Center. We were a featured exhibitor at the Americans for Prosperity event. Wonderful event. Hundreds of new people signed up to register with LIFA, got lots of new contact information. We sold many, many copies of the Bible and Immigration. We're into our second printing now of the Bible in Immigration. We sold out the first printing, so we're in the second printing now. We distributed thousands of copies of our Immigration Voters Guide 2016. We have now distributed 15,000 copies of Immigration Voters Guide all across the nation.
Now, you're talking about actual physical...
Physical, 15,000.
Plus people can go to the website
and
download it, right?
And here's the thing. In addition to having it in English, we also now have it in Spanish. So people can get Immigration Voters Guide 2016 in English or Spanish. Just go to golifa.com, G-O-L-I-F-A.com. Click on the gallery. Click on the article about Immigration Voters Guide 2016. And you can download the Voters Guide in either English or Spanish or both. And if you want to order multiple copies, we have groups ordering 100 copies, 500 copies, etc. We can sell you, you know, a bulk amount, bulk volume of them as well. So we were at AFP. Now, you know, everyone says this is Labor Day weekend, great weekend to rest.
Real quick, AFP is the Americans for Prosperity Convention.
Yes, and they were there. They were at the Orange County Convention Center yesterday, Friday and Saturday, and so we were one of the exhibitors.
Had a bunch of big name speakers there.
Yeah, and it's funny because we were so busy at our table. I mean, they had, you know, Scott Walker and Carly Fiorina, Joni Ernst, Rubio, I forget who else was there. And I didn't have time for the speakers because there were so many people flooding our table, you know, all day and all night that we just didn't have time to go in.
Wanting information, books.
Exactly.
Everything.
You know, buying books, getting copies of the Voters Guide in English and Spanish, our immigration statistics card, everything. And, you know, filling out our contact information sheets. So we had two great days, Friday and Saturday at AFP. Now we're laboring on Labor Day. We're not taking tomorrow off. No way. We're going to be in the Villages to speak to the Villages Tea Party tomorrow night. Our friend Aileen Milton is one of the leaders there. So tomorrow night, 6 p.m., we'll be at the Villages Tea Party to speak there. Wednesday night, we're going to be with you. We're going to help celebrate over at Cafe Positano.
Yeah,
definitely.
Right. Come on out. They'll have information there with them.
Absolutely. We're going to hang out with you and celebrate on Wednesday. This Saturday night, we're going to be featured exhibitors at the Hispanic Gala over at the Rosen Center. One of the local Republican women's groups is having a Hispanic Gala, and so we're going to be there.
That's a formal thing too, isn't it?
I have been told so, yeah. So apparently I can't wear my Elvis t-shirt.
I guess not.
I might have to change it to a cleaner one, apparently.
leave the Vegas hat at home,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know it. I'll wear my Trump one. I'll wear my Tyson t-shirt.
Oh, that'll be
interesting. Then we're going to be with you again next Monday. We're going to, you know, you're going to get sick of us at some point. So with you and John Voight and so forth.
At the Decision 2016
We're going to be, we have our VIP tickets already for that. The night after that, we're going to be out in Howie in the Hills at Mission Inn to speak to the Lake County GOP Hispanic Club, because we're doing tons of minority outreach. And again, we have our Voters Guide in Spanish now. We just printed up another 1,000 of those that are being distributed. We got the Faith Conference in October. We just added October events in Clearwater, in Vero Beach, in Tavares, in Heathrow, in Leesburg, and in Tampa, all in October, the other half dozen events or whatever. And very exciting, you know, something else is that we are now partnering with our good friend Dinesh D'Souza.
Oh,
as
wow.
well on Hillary's America. One of the things that LIFA is doing, and this is very important, but I want people to please listen to this. Legal Immigrants for America is going to be hosting showings of Hillary's America at churches and other groups all across Orlando and really all across the nation in October, leading up to the election. We already have one date nailed down, October 16th at Heathrow Country Club for the Red, White, and Blue Tea Party. We're going to be doing that. And we're also particularly gearing up to show the movie in different minority neighborhoods. We're working with our friend Kathy Gibson, for instance,
to
show it in
that.
Some African-American churches
downtown,
in Orlando.
Yes.
We're working, Pola's lining up some different Hispanic churches because we're going to get the DVD in English with Spanish subtitles. And so we know that, you know, minority outreach is very important during this election season.
Right.
And so we are taking the bull by the horns, basically. We're not waiting for anybody else to do it. And so anyone out there, if you are interested in getting a copy of Hillary's America to show at your church or whatever group that you're with, contact us. Go to golifa.com. Golifa.com. Shoot us an email and just tell us what group you're with, a church or whatever group it is, what date you would like to show it, and the name and address of the venue. Now, the DVD is being released on October 10th. So anytime after October 10th, it can be shown. So we're scheduling dates starting, you know, mid-October on right up to before the election. And we're very excited about this. We've already made initial contact with Dinesh D'Souza and his company, and we'll get as many DVDs as necessary. There's no cost for the DVD. Again, send your contact information to us at Legal Immigrants for America, golifa.com. Tell us the name of your group, probably how many people will attend, a proposed date and time, and we'll make sure that you get a copy of the DVD, because we just, it's up to us to do it at this point. We have seen that, you know, we just need to do this in terms of minority and Hispanic outreach. We made lots of contacts, and it's funny because even at AFP yesterday, we had people from Ohio and California and Nevada and Texas and all over the country signing up saying, Steve, Legal Immigrants for America, help us out. We want to help you out. Help us out. Get us the DVD. And so we're going to do that. And so we're sponsoring that both in Orlando and all across the nation as well. And it's an exciting thing because, Chris, we're less than 10 weeks away now. We're only 2 months away. Time's a waste.
I know. And as a matter of fact, I was just telling Aubrey earlier in the show, early voting starts in, I believe, the Dakotas, and I believe it's Minnesota. It's three states in 3 weeks.
Oh, absolutely.
In 3 weeks.
Well, and think back to 2012. Mitt Romney learned the hard way that you can't begin to do minority outreach, you know, like Halloween, basically.
Right.
You got to do it earlier. And so Legal Immigrants for America, we've made this decision. We're going to engage in minority outreach starting ASAP. And so thankfully, Dinesh D'Souza, wonderful guy. You know, I'm sure a lot of listeners have probably already seen the movie. You know, they're going to work with us to get the DVD to you know, before as many eyeballs as possible.
We're
now in Election Day.
That's the whole point. Those of us who have seen it, perhaps we can help LIFA and others get it into the hands and in front of the people who really need to see it. All right, we got Warren on the line. Warren, thank you for calling tonight. Appreciate you being out there.
Oh, yeah, I was there from day one, as I remember.
Yeah, that's right, 6 years ago.
Yeah, it was in your second hour, too. So.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And, man, we come a long way, baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know, I spend some of my time trying. I'm just irritated as all get out when I try and disseminate the news from these clickbait sites.
On the internet.
I know what I'm getting if I go to The Onion.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, there you
but
go.
You've got BuzzFeed and all these different
places.
Oh, it's just terrible. And some that are legitimate, like the TeaParty.net, of course, is a fairly legitimate, but they seem to be in bed with a couple of fairly legitimate news sites, but all they want is the click-through.
Right.
And that's what people got to understand about that.
Yeah, that's right. It's sort of a baiting technique, if you will.
Oh, yeah. They get advertising and they get thousands of people. Oh, look, I've got to go find out what's new. And it looks just like the headlines at the supermarket checkout.
Yeah, It's all that click rate. Yeah. You got it. You got it, man.
You're doing a wonderful job, guys.
Well, thank you, Warren.
I'm still here.
All right. We're counting on you being there.
Take care.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. We got a break coming up here in just a little over a minute. But once again, now, Legal Immigrants for America is a nonprofit organization. If you would like to help them with all these efforts that he's talking about, there's a number of ways you can do it. You can get, like you said, you can get the book, The Bible and Immigration by Steve Gushov for a $25 donation, and it'll autograph it for you. And then for another $10 each, they'll sell you more of the books. And, of course, you can actually make a donation of any amount. No amount is too small or too large.
Absolutely.
And if you'd like to spend a week at the beach, not a weekend, a week, a full week at the beach, at a beautiful beachfront condo with 3 suites, so you can get perhaps some other couples together and split the cost for $2,500, and you got a number of weeks available.
You can actually just purchase a week for $2,500. We also have an auction on October 1st where we are auctioning off a week, minimum bid $800, minimum bid for 1 week, 3-bedroom, fully furnished condominium overlooking the Atlantic Ocean and a golf club in Ponce Inlet.
And you say
bargain of the century.
You say the auction is October 1st. So that's the only
day? Get your bids in.
That's the only day you'll accept bids?
That's the deadline, so anytime up to then.
Okay, so you can go ahead and bid. The deadline is October the 1st. Anyway, our deadline is coming up here in 10 seconds, so we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries 3-Hour Sunday Classic Tour. Don't forget, Amar Armed American Radio coming up after us tonight.
Back from the dressing room to re-stretch their tights, here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversary on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. We're here. We're live until 8 o'clock tonight, at which time Armed American Radio comes on, and Mark Walters and the guys will take you live until 11 o'clock tonight. A lot of great live radio right here every Sunday night on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And don't forget, if you would like to hear any part of this show again, you can go to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, and that's where we have our archive now. All right, I am Christopher Hart. Steve Gushov of Legal Immigrants for America is still in the studio. Of course, Aubrey Kahn is still in the studio. Don't forget, Aubrey hosts Talk to the Experts Saturdays here at 1 o'clock on these very same stations, this very same network.
Hey, Chris?
Yes.
Aubrey had a suggestion to me about our condominium auction. Aubrey, do you want to repeat the question you asked me during the break?
Sure. If I was to win the auction,
yes,
would you allow me to invite Hillary Clinton down?
For what purpose?
Install her in the condo and then insert deadbolts on the outside.
Deadbolts that lock.
Deadbolts on the outside. I talked about putting a moat with alligators around it outside.
And no, you can't do that because of the alligators wouldn't touch her because of professional courtesy.
Good point. Well played, sir. I will have to check with Jim and Poehler on that one.
Unfortunately, I think they still consider that to be kidnapping.
No, she ain't no kid. Believe me, she's a granny.
You know, that's why O.J. Simpson is in prison. One of the reasons
in
why.
In Las Vegas.
No, yeah. Well, what,
because he told the people, when they went into the room, he said, nobody can leave.
Yep. Yep.
And that one little simple statement became kidnapping.
Yes.
Well,
yeah. The juice is not loose.
You know, well, of course, what floor is this condo on?
I don't even know. I haven't been over there. Jim and Paula have been there, and it's like, I don't even know.
If we're on the sixth or seventh floor, we'll leave one window open,
okay.
And she can leave.
All right. All and right. A bed sheet to rappel down?
Hey, all she's got to do is get on that broom, and she'll just fly right on.
That's true. Because she ain't no modern one, because that would be on a vacuum cleaner.
All right, Legal Immigrants for America, great organization. Steve Gushov is the director. All right, we have, is it Hattie? Hattie or is it
Hedding?
Hedding, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being there.
Yeah, I wanted to say, first of all, I do support Donald Trump.
Excellent.
And I think that a lot of blacks should be voting for Trump based on practical considerations, such as the fact that illegal immigration hurts blacks even more than most people in this country. It's because, you know, it takes away the bottom of the rung jobs that many of them would be doing. But you guys talk about showing this Dinesh D'Souza film, Hillary's America. When you went to see this in the theater, did you see any black people in the theater watching this film?
Have you seen it? Did you see anyone? What was the theater makeup?
You know, when I saw the movie, I think there was one black person there. There was a woman there who appeared to be of Indian descent. But there were not very many. That's a fact, if that's what you're looking toward. Yeah.
You make a very good point, Hattie, and that's why we want to intentionally, you know, make it available in minority communities. And I'm going to give you an example. Like I said, we were at the AFP conference on Friday and Saturday, and we did speak to a lot of African-American pastors, church leaders, school leaders. There's a wonderful school over in Pine Hills called, I believe it's called Victory Christian Academy. I met the young woman who is the principal and the other young woman who is the athletic director. Very impressive. They're good friends with Kathy Gibson. They want to show it over there. We met many others. Even there was a woman from Kansas City who wants us to send out a copy to Kansas City to her church to show it out there. And so I think Hadding's point is a good one because here's the thing. You have to make it available. If people aren't going to necessarily go to the – if they're not going to go to the theater to see it, we'll bring it to them.
Okay, go ahead, Hadding.
Yeah, well, see, that wasn't really my point. My point is that blacks are not very interested in this film because they can just as well go to the theater and see it as I could. It was certainly well advertised, and they talked about the Ku Klux Klan and the advertisements. If that won't get their interest, I don't know what would. You're trying to get blacks to look at something that's not interesting to them. Why is it not interesting to them? I'll tell you, because it's blatantly dishonest. All right? This notion, blacks know perfectly well that the Dixiecrats switched over to the Republican Party in the 60s and 70s. This is well known. And this notion that the Democratic Party of today is the same as the Democratic Party of the 1860s is absurd. The Ku Klux Klan in 1924 supported Calvin Coolidge for re-election, the Republican president.
Hey, Hadding, remind me, what party was Robert Byrd a member of? Was he a Republican or a Democrat? Remind me, please.
Well, he was a Democrat, but I
Yeah. So that just trashes your whole argument.
You're just going to talk about Robert Byrd for... Look, that doesn't prove the point. The point that D'Souza is trying to make is that Ku Klux Klan equals Democratic Party. I just told you. Look it up. John W. Davis, the Democratic nominee...
Go back to Nathan Bedford Forrest. It was the Democratic Party that helped to found it after the Civil War. Are you kidding me, man? Do some basic history. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Hold on.
The Ku Klux Klan of the 20th century was an entirely different organization from what existed immediately after the war between the states.
But they also gave $20,000 to Hillary Clinton's campaign. How do you explain that?
I'm sure a lot of them donated to Trump also.
No. KKK, $20,000. Do you hear Hillary talking about that?
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Hadding.
Strom Thurmond ran on the Dixiecrat ticket in 1948 because they did not like racial integration. And in 1965, Strom Thurmond switched over to the Republican Party. Jesse Helms, another Southern segregationist, also switched over to the Democratic Party. This is generally what happened.
Wait, Jesse Helms was never a member of the KKK. Strom Thurmond was never a member of the KKK. Robert Byrd was a leader of the KKK, and he was a Democrat. You have to get your facts straight, sir. You're not even close to being factual on this.
Hold on. I think, Hadding, what you're saying is that the Ku Klux Klan can be found to support people on both sides. Is that more or less what you're saying?
In the 20th century, that's true.
Okay, all right. But what is your point, then, as to why... I understand that you're saying that there's, if you will, a little more nuance in the 20th century, but why do you think that this makes his movie a lie?
Because it's cherry picking of largely ancient history to create what blacks will recognize as a false message.
Well, I don't know
What do you think Nixon's Southern strategy was? What was that about? It was about getting white people upset with forced integration to switch over to the Republican Party. The blacks know about this stuff. You're not fooling them. It amazes me that white people think that they're going to fool blacks with this stuff.
No one's trying to fool them. It's like you're coming way out of left field.
You are trying to fool them.
You still haven't given one single concrete example of how the movie is false. It's historic in nature. The KKK roots are in the Democratic Party. You cannot deny that. And even through the 20th century, the KKK was rooted in members of the Democrat Party. You talk about Strom Thurmond, you talk about Jesse Helms, Richard Nixon, etc. None of them were the KKK. None of them were the KKK. Robert Byrd was. Hillary Clinton embraced him. Okay, he's a specific, concrete example of a leading Democratic Party candidate and leader who is a member of the KKK. You cannot give one single Republican example of that. You can talk about Nixon's strategy, but look at every presidential candidate, Democrat or Republican, has a political strategy to embrace and engage voters they think will vote for them. You can talk about a Southern strategy. Obama has an urban strategy. So does Hillary. Hillary doesn't have a Southern strategy because she's not going to win too many states, but she has a Northeastern strategy. So are you going to say that she's bigoted and favoring those in the Northeast? You know, strategies are strategies, whether you talk about a Southern strategy, a Northern strategy, any sort of strategy. Reagan had a Western strategy. Does that make him a bigot?
And I think the point of the movie...
Because you don't have one.
Well, try it one more time, Hadding. Try it one more time. What's your point?
Well, I'm amazed that it's still not clear. Look, if you want to cherry pick examples of people associated with the Ku Klux Klan who were Democrats, there's David Duke. All right, David Duke ran for governor.
Hadding, I wish you were with us.
Hold on. Okay, Hadding. All right, this I don't believe what you call cherry picking is cherry picking. First of all, it's a movie. It's what, 2 hours? It's actually less than 2 hours. Obviously, he can't show every little nuance, if you will, of history, but he gives the basics, and the basics are accurate. What he presents in the movie is indeed factual. He doesn't present anything in there that's a lie. Now, you may say that it's not telling the whole truth.
Definitely doesn't tell the whole truth.
Okay, all right. Now, if you want to say that, then you might find some form of agreement here. But the problem is, it tells, for your argument, that is, the problem is that it tells the crucial parts of the truth.
Hold on.
A lot of the truth that a lot of people in the black community don't know, aren't aware of, or have never heard of. And the whole point, I'm sorry, Jeff, give me some extra time here. The whole point of the movie is to educate people as to who actually ended slavery, who actually brought about the Voting Rights Act, who has been trying to hold black people down, who has benefited from black people being held down. This is what the movie is trying to present, along with Hillary Clinton's part in the whole shebang. And so I think if you're trying to find more in the movie than that, you're going to be disappointed. But in terms of, the people in the black community not wanting to see the movie, they're not wanting to see the movie because they have been told not to see the movie by Democrats.
And why were they told that?
They have been told that by Democrats because the Democrats don't want them to know the truth. The Democrats are the ones who benefit from them being held down. This is part of what Donald Trump, the argument that Donald Trump is beginning to make. I believe you said you were going to vote for Donald Trump or you support Donald Trump. The reason he went into the church yesterday was to say, look, this party that you have put so much faith and effort and support into has been screwing you royally. This is the storyline that they have not heard yet. This is the storyline that Dinesh is trying to present in his movie. Now, maybe he doesn't do it up to your standards, but I think he does a pretty doggone good job of it. But I appreciate...
Most of the arguments that Republicans have been using to try to convince blacks to vote Republican have been really sorry arguments. Basically, they say things like, we'll take away your benefits, and that'll be good for you. You think they're going to vote for that? No.
Well, actually...
And this Democrats are the real racist argument is completely empty, and people can see that.
I agree with the first thing you just said. I disagree with the second thing you just said. The Republicans have not had the right message. You're right about that. The right message, I think, was actually being presented by Donald Trump yesterday when he went into that church and he said, look, I'm here to listen. I'm here to hear what you have to say. That's the beginning part of the right message. And in terms of we're going to take things away from you, no, the message should be we're going to show you how you can have your dreams. We're going to show you how to fulfill your dreams. We're going to show you how to not only think big, but win. Big, that it should be a much more uplifting argument. But as far as the second part of what you said, I totally disagree. And
I think it's pie in the sky to tell blacks that they're going to think big and win big, but they might be able to have a job if illegal immigration is curbed.
Well, I agree with you.
The appeal ought to be.
Well, I agree with you there too, and I believe that's part of Donald Trump's strategy. I think his strategy is to double down on his argument towards illegal immigration because he can win if the black vote turns in any modicum of numbers towards him. He could really win some big states. So let's end on an agreement there because I'm running out of time, but I appreciate your call tonight, Hattie, and I hope you'll call back again. And thank you for listening. I appreciate that. And we do have to take a break. We come back. We got John and James on the line. And on the one hand, I can see what the guy's saying, but it's sort of a fatalistic argument is what he's saying. And I believe that blacks do want to think and dream big and win big. They've just been told over and over again that they can't.
Look, Harris, when we were at AFP, we had dozens of African-Americans, men and women, wanting to see this movie. And so what he's saying about them not wanting to see it is false. Now, you're right. Trump is presenting an economic argument to the African-American and Hispanic community. And remember, he's only going to move the needle about 10 points
economic
to win this.
And safety.
And he's doing that, and that's why the Democrats are petrified.
Economic and safety.
Yeah.
He's actually showing concern for people's lives in Chicago, right?
Absolutely.
Whoa. All right. We just had a little shock from a lightning bolt.
Hello, NSA.
If you're still out there, we'll be right back with more of the show.
Oh, hey, folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And if you really want to find out what's going on in America, check out the American Adversaries. Tough guy. Ho!
Ho! That's right. Hi-ho, indeed. It's the American Adversaries Classic Sunday Night Edition, the three-hour tour, as we like to call it. I'm the artist formerly known as Noster Dennis, here with Aubrey Kahn, Steve Gushov, and our host, Christopher Hart. Hi, guys.
Who is that stranger?
I heard someone talking about me on the radio. At least that's what my wife said. So I figured I'd come down. And whatever they told you, folks, it's not true.
Who is that masked
whatever.
Man? Happy birthday, Noster Dennis. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Happy birthday to the show. It's going to be fun being over Positano's for that.
Wednesday night. Come on over and join us, folks. All right. That's right. Steve Gushov of Life of Legal Immigrants for America is still in the studio. GoLifa.com. You're going at it, Derek, weren't you, old lawyer?
Hey, what can I say, man? You know, you got to fight back. You got to fight the power. You got to fight the man.
Yeah.
If you haven't
got your facts straight.
Yeah. I got to hope that our last caller, if he wants to really be, you know, mentally consistent, he should attack every movie made by Michael Moore for the same reason, that it doesn't give both sides of the argument.
Well, and we didn't have time. We had to go to the break. But the one question I also wanted to ask him was, which president and attorney general was it that harassed and spied on Dr. Martin Luther King? Oh, yeah, that was John F. Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy. What party were they members of? Democratic Party. Okay.
The African-American vote.
Just checking.
It's a force to be reckoned with, and it's been taken for granted for decades.
I think what was underlying his argument is what I was trying to get to is that it was a very pessimistic outlook, right? Mm-hmm. And we have a more optimistic outlook, I guess.
Trump's only going to move the needle 10 points. That's the thing. He doesn't have to win the majority.
That's
10
right.
10 points, he'll win the election.
And I think he's got a good chance of doing just that.
Same with Hispanics.
All right. And I think because the illegal immigration argument, it plays in the black community.
It does because, you know, young black unemployment, the rate is 50% right now. Half of all young African-Americans are out of work. And a large number of the jobs that they do not have are jobs going to illegal immigrants right now.
Yeah.
And that's a reason why the unemployment is so high. And so it's an economic issue just as much as anything. And that's why Trump, between being in Mexico this week, the immigration speech, the Detroit church yesterday, it was a good week for him.
I think so. Let's see what John has to say tonight. John, thank you for calling. We appreciate your patience waiting there.
Hey, guys. Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Hey, talking about immigration, I was looking at this survey where they polled the citizenry out there as to what they considered to be the most important issues, and immigration came in like second from the bottom. However, looking at the other issues, such as jobs, the economy, national defense or security, and education, every one of those issues has been affected directly by immigration.
Exactly.
Illegal immigration. So these people that are out there, answering these polls, it seems that they're very uninformed about the impact of immigration.
Well, I think that's one thing that Trump has been trying to do here is to discuss the impact on our security, not just the border, but our security in our cities, right? And the economic impact on all of us.
John is absolutely right because, one thing that Paul and I say all the time at our speaking engagements is that immigration is the number one issue in this election because it affects everything else. So when we talk about how it affects national security, it affects the economy, it affects the unemployment rate, particularly for minority youth. It affects jobs. It affects health care. Somebody's going to pay for the free health care for all the illegals. It affects education. Somebody's going to pay for the education for the children of illegals. Here's a statistic from our Immigration Voters Guide. It costs $12 billion a year in the U.S. to pay for the primary and secondary school education for the children of illegal immigrants. $12 billion a year. Who's paying that? The illegals aren't. American taxpayers are.
Right.
And so it encompasses everything is what immigration does. And if Trump wasn't in the race, you'd never hear about it as an issue.
No, it would not be tied together. It would not. No. What's that? I'm sorry?
Chris, I've got one other thing, that the unspoken issue that's really going to have probably the furthest reaching ramifications time wise, and that is the impact on the culture, the way they are subverting our American values and our culture. Going forward, if we don't stop this, we're not going to be the same America.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely right. I mean, you know, when you think about our show, for instance, The American Adversaries, what does political correctness and all of this try to do? It tries to eliminate the adversary, right? It tries to eliminate the adversary of liberalism. And if we ever succumb to that, then we're done. We're toast.
John, one of the things that we espouse at Legal Immigrants for America is that immigrants culturally assimilate here in the United States. And that doesn't mean you lose your ethnicity 100%. You can absolutely still celebrate your ethnicity.
Walk around Lower
Manhattan.
But
you're still an American.
All over Lower Manhattan. You go from Little Italy to Chinatown to Little Korea to Little Vietnam. There are neighborhoods all over that have a great cultural diversity. But they're all Americans.
Exactly. And you should celebrate your ethnicity, but you need to culturally assimilate. And something that Paul and I say all the time in our speaking engagements is the need for immigrants when they come over, you know, to learn English right away, to get a job right away, and to culturally assimilate right away. And, you know, if you do, you can be very successful in this nation.
Yeah. All right, John, thanks for your call tonight. Appreciate
you
being on.
Take care.
Thank you so much. You know, Trump gave this speech, was it Wednesday night, I guess, and he gave 10 points. And the 10th point was to deal with basically legal immigration, which is a huge problem in and of itself. But for the most part, the 9 points were to pretty much just implement what's already in the law, wasn't it?
Well, and that leads to the 10th point. And again, if people go online to golifa.com and get our immigration voters guide, they'll see where, you know, we compare Trump and Clinton on immigration policies, and we have that entire list of what Trump was saying. Because you're right, one of the things we say all the time is that there are great immigration laws on the books right now, but we don't have a president or an administration that will enforce them. And that's why this election is so important, because you've got great laws on the books. You hear all the time, oh, we need immigration reform. We need immigration reform. You really don't need immigration reform. You need immigration enforcement is what you need.
Implementation, right. From the very first, when he says build the wall, that's been appropriated. It's been legislated.
It's been legislated, right. And it just needs to be done at this point.
The only thing that I could find that was probably really not already there was he said he wants to increase the Border Patrol agents. I mean, but in essence, everything that he said he wanted to do, the law already provides him an avenue to do it.
The law provides an avenue. There are already existing, you know, good laws on the books that simply need to be enforced. You have to have a president who simply has the backbone to enforce good laws that are already on the books. That's the bottom, and that's really not that simple. That's just having a change of philosophy and character in the White House.
And as we know, if you've listened to the show over 6 years, our good friend Duncan Hunter was one of the people instrumental in passing. It got passed through both houses of Congress. It was a law that said we will build a wall on our southern border.
Yeah.
Only about 15 miles of it got fully completed from the California coast inward, and that was his district in Southern California. And you know what happened? Within a year after that portion of the wall went up, violent crime went down, unemployment went down, and the standard of living went up for people
walls
in that area.
Walls work, whether it's Israel or China or here in the USA, walls work.
Indeed, and that's why they build them. And that's why Mexico, by the way, is building a wall on their southern border, right? And, yep, they're paying for it.
Smart people, those Mexicans.
Aren't they, though? They want a northern border wall. They just don't want to have to pay for it.
Honduras is going to pay for that wall.
That's right. Stick around. We got a lot more of the show to go. Kathy Santomassinos, come to the rescue. We'll be back with more of the show.
Celebrating 50 years as Apopka's hometown station. 1520 WBZW.
Apopka, Orlando.
Community events. Financial news.
Adversaries.
All right, yeah, we're hoping you're feeling good. Starting to take on more of a party atmosphere around here.
Woo-hoo!
anytime Nostradamus and Kathy Santomassimo show up.
The gruesome twosome.
Things get interesting.
I haven't gruesome. I've shrunk a little, actually.
That is Nostradamus. He is in the studio live. And you going to be there Wednesday night?
I am, yeah. Johnny Guns and I am going to pull him away from his desk.
Johnny,
we work
Guns
together at our day job. I'm going to pull him away and get him out there. I don't think he's going to enter the spaghetti eating contest, but I think he wants to see it.
All right. And it's going to be a hoot. We want to see you folks there if you can possibly make it. Wednesday night, Cafe Positano. If you'd like to make reservations for that evening, and I suggest you do, 407-774-8080 is their number at Cafe Positano. All right, that is Nostradamus. Aubrey Kahn is still in the studio. I am Christopher Hart, and Kathy Santomassimo has joined us, taken over for Steve Gushov.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you.
Okay, I don't think we can top that one. All right, and once again, thanks for being with us tonight. It is 6 years we've been on the air here tonight. All right, show number 300 on Sunday night. Plus, we got 1,150 or so Monday through Friday, so we're racking them up. All right, we got a man on the line with us right now. He's been on the show before. That's right. You hear his promos, his bumps all the time. He is Sam Houston, coming to us live from here in where, California tonight?
No, I'm in Henderson, Nevada, man.
What in the world are you doing in Henderson, Nevada?
Well, it's a long story, but it's a great one. Oh, my gosh. You know, I lived down in Louisiana. Or I did live down in Louisiana till the floods hit.
Yeah.
You know, interesting thing about water, it disperses a lot of things pretty quick. And one thing that it dispersed was it got me out of Louisiana.
I understand that the flood literally did hit you and you lost everything.
Yes, sir. I lost everything. I was fortunate enough to have a bag with me with it had some dress clothes in it, so I had my boots. You know, then I was also fortunate enough to have my wrestling gear with me, and then some work clothes and a few tools and things. But when the floods hit, I made it to Texas. And got to Texas. Well, I talked to my brother, and my brother asked me, he said, well, what are you going to do? And I told him how much I needed to get out of Louisiana. And he offered his place here in Henderson for me to come back and get on my feet.
Wow.
I'm really looking forward to spending some time with him. We got kind of close at 99 for a couple of months. We hung out together then for a while, but this is the first time that we really had any time that we've been together as like a family or anything.
Well,
so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, maybe God, God has a reason for everything. And
well, I think so. You know, I've been on this track, kind of, sort of. I've been speaking at substance abuse centers and churches and things. And helping people out as much as I can. Well, I've never been able to commit fully because you've always got to pay the bills. You've always got to eat. So I needed to do my home renovation things, and I was doing the offshore until the industry fell out. Now with gas as low as it is, they're not repairing anything out there. They're putting it off until after the election now. Then they'll start doing maintenance back out there again on a regular schedule. But I'm sort of at a standstill, and I want to I want to be able to commit myself fully to what I want to do. And but this has given me the opportunity for that. And gosh, it is so great. I don't know how y'all feel about mountains, but I love the mountains. And it is so great to wake up in the morning and see the mountains.
Yeah, it must be an awesome sight. Yeah. I've seen them on vacation. Of course, we don't have any mountains down here in Florida, so that's
we got rolling hills in Claremont. That's about
it. You know, yeah. I've seen that one right outside of Pensacola.
That's that one. That's about it. Yeah. Hey,
yeah.
Hey, listen.
There's one on the way to Sarasota too.
Yeah.
From Tampa.
I hear.
I've seen that one.
Yeah, that
wasn't very big.
No. Yeah, I think actually somebody buried something there. I don't think it's actually a mountain.
Right.
But hey, listen, we're going to have Sonny join us here in a few minutes, but I know you kind of got displaced, but how was the election looking in Baton Rouge before the flood came in? And do you think that, how is Louisiana shaping up?
Well, I'll tell you what, right after the floods, I mean, when Trump made the, when the president of the United States was too busy to stand up for a golf game and give us a little wink out there or anything, Donald Trump flew in and he went to some of the centers, the relief centers. So that definitely, I would say, gave him a shot in the arm, a big boost as far as participation from the people. You know, I think that gave them a chance to you know, because, hey, it'd be kind of like, you know, seeing Vince McMahon selling hot dogs at or giving hot dogs away at WrestleMania.
Yeah, it would impress a lot of people, especially those who got the hot dog, right?
Yeah.
You know,
I got a golden hot dog.
Well, that's another thing. You know, we talked about this when you were on the show before about how we've been talking about since we started the very first night. Matter of fact, the very first segment of our very first show, we began to make the argument as to why professional wrestling and politics have so much in common. And then along comes a guy like Donald Trump who seems to somehow understand that at some level. Do you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, he's a businessman, first of all. You know, so he understands, and it is all about the dollar. You know, we try to put on this face, oh, it's not the money, it's not the money. And they tell you that offshore, oh, safety first, yeah. Look when the going gets tough, yeah. You got to get going with it.
Yeah.
Know?
Hey, listen.
That's just how it is.
Yeah, Sam. Sam, hold on a second. We're having a little trouble with your phone. You're kind of breaking up a little bit on us there.
Okay, hang on, just.
All right. You stay with us, and I want to bring.
I'm right here.
Okay, there you go. That's much better. And we. We now have Sonny.
I'm sorry. I'm walking around outside with my phone. I'm standing in one spot.
All right. I thought we could hear the wind blowing there or something. Yeah. Anyway, we got Sonny joining us now live from California. So we got you from Nevada, Sonny from the mountains of California. Sonny, how you doing tonight?
Whoa, I'm doing great. I think the wind just blew me in, too.
Is that right?
It's really, yeah, it's blowing up here. It's a beautiful 71.
Hey, I got one of your old buddies, Noster Dennis, in the studio with me tonight.
Yay!
Yeah, you know, Sonny sent me a Facebook message.
To you.
She was so nice. She sent me hugs, kisses, and body slams, and I'll take one of each from you, not from George the Animal Steele.
Didn't I say that's a deal, or steal, or deal, or something like that? Yes, I did.
Something like that.
Yes, Sonny, there's a kiss, mwah, and a super big hug, Dennis.
Oh, ooh, look out.
You now here comes the body slam.
One, two.
What's that,
I
Sam?
I want one, too.
He wants one, too. Sam says he wants one, too.
Hey, girl, you know I was just displaced, you know? I'm not in Louisiana no more.
I know. You're even closer now.
Yeah, so I could scoot on over and get me a hug and a kiss.
There you go. That's right.
See, there's a silver lining to every cloud, right, Sam?
Oh, isn't there? There's so many opportunities here.
Well, you're in the land of win or lose, though. Just keep walking by those slot machines. Don't you dare start.
No, I'm not. I'm not allowed to. By law, I can't for another 2 years.
That's right. Well, that's good then. That saves the day on that because I don't want that to happen.
That's right. Hey, you know, we were just talking with Sam about Louisiana, Baton Rouge, and he said, you know, Trump came down there. He thought it was a real good thing. I think that was the start of Trump having a couple of good weeks because he's begun to look more like he could actually do the job. What do you think, Sonny?
I like how you say beginning to look like.
Yeah.
Are you having your doubts, Chris?
No.
I kind of think you are.
No, not me. No way, not me.
Okay, all right. No dissuading there.
No.
All right.
Sonny, we've got to admit that he did a far better job than
I just want to get up, guys. I want to grab my baseball bat, and I want to take a swing at his piñata because I like how the Mexicans are making their piñatas, and they're all Trump. They're just really cute, by the way, dedicated to Trump, how they've got the hair flipped over. They've got this big hair, I should say. It's all in yellow at the top of the piñata, and it's free for all.
You know why you can't find the piñata of Hillary?
What's that? Wait a minute. What's that, Aubrey?
You know why you cannot find a piñata of Hillary?
Why is that?
It's been hidden. Just like her emails.
Oh, bada bing, bada boom, bada da. Yes, Aubrey, that was good. I'm laughing inside. No, but that's, you know, I think it's funny. And he's got a big balls to go to Mexico, but he couldn't finish what the Mexican said. Should I say the Mexican? That didn't sound right. the president of Mexico stating, we're not paying for that wall. And he said, well, we'll have to continue this later.
Yeah,
that's Trump's words. Really?
Well,
I don't know. Kind of interesting. But he did make it out safe and alive.
I thought maybe
that was it. The Mexican mafia is going to take him out.
Yeah, he brought his own water with him, too. But
no, hey, that was smart.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Indeed. Well, you know, I think that what he wanted to do was show that he could stand basically toe-to-toe with a foreign, you know, dignitary, a foreign leader, if you will. And he did show that he could do that. And he went to this church yesterday up in Detroit.
Yes.
And even though he doesn't show much rhythm, he nonetheless had the right message, I think. And I think that he could make some definite forays into the black community, that the black community, a lot of them, I think, have to be dissatisfied with their situation and would like to see something a little different. Sam, let me get your feelings on that first.
First, you're exactly right. I mean, I think one of the smartest things that the Trump campaign or anything could have done was partner up with Bernie Sanders.
You talking about?
Oh gosh,
Ben Carson.
Dr. Carson.
Yeah.
What was to partner up with Dr. Carson because that at least gives his campaign a new insight, you know, and a new ear to listen to.
Well, you know, yeah, and Ben supports that. Ben is all
right.
Trump, you know, right now. That's cool.
You know, I mean, and you know, early on, you know, everybody attacked. You know, Ben Carson, he's not strong enough, he he's not, you know, he's a thing, too much of a thinker and not a doer, I guess, is, you know, the way I perceived it. I think partnering up with the Trump side of the Trump campaign was a great move.
Yeah.
I really do.
And is the, you know, the even Black Lives Matter, Aubrey was just showing us something, Black Lives Matter is out there. I mean, Louis Farrakhan has endorsed Trump. I mean, you're seeing some odd things that you've not seen with any other Republican. You have to admit that, Sonny.
I'm not admitting nothing. I stand on the fifth. No.
Sounds like Hillary. I can't remember.
That server, yeah.
I'm going to be Hillary right now. I'm not admitting to anything. you know, I think I'm here in the middle. I still want to see more as it gets November. We don't have far to go.
Yeah. Well,
right now, Clinton has seated in North Carolina. She still leads the poll.
But she's fading all over the place.
Yeah.
The only question.
She may climb up and she might waddle down.
Yeah.
I think wallowing down is probably a safer assumption here.
Yeah. Actually, the polls are tightening because she's losing more so than Trump gaining.
Right. She's slowing down. He's not really picking up.
There is a momentum of that.
Yeah.
It's showing, yes. But in certain areas, he's now has to pull out all his anti-minority. He needs to make his how would you say, accusations better. And that's what I think he's doing by going to all, like, let's say the blacks. And I'm saying blacks because in Detroit, let me tell you, my brother lives a little bit outside of there. He lives in Novi, actually. And I've been through the hubs of Detroit with the broken down houses and the boarded up houses. He went right through there and he's there. So, you know, I give him props for doing that because that will make points. They will, you know, and then also going right head to head with the Mexican president. However, it didn't work about building that wall. But in the end, I believe they will have to pay for that wall.
You know,
if it's going to work, who knows?
The issue isn't really over whether the border should be made more secure with a wall, fence, electronics, whatever you want to say.
I don't think they're going to keep these guys out at all. They're going to find a way, you know,
why don't they get over here.
What's that?
Yeah, we all know it's coming. Why don't they just issue us all collars, like the shock collars?
Electrocution collars. Exactly.
Yeah. And then they say, okay, you're allowed to go this far. You can go there. Then you could keep, like, people that are supposed to stay in the state,
like you do with the dogs, or, you know, you've got those sensors, you hit that zap button.
It depends who has their finger on the zap button, though.
You know, something like that.
Yeah, Nostradamus says, what was that?
It depends who exactly has their finger on that zap button.
That's right.
I think every wife should have that for their husband.
My wife is listening, Sonny. Stop.
Every wife, if they could be one part of the car, they want to be the same part, the steering wheel.
Yeah, it's like that heart. You have the heart, you know, the half of the heart, and the other one holds the key or whatever. Just have that. Hey, honey, can you do the dishes? Can you take out the trash?
Look out. All right.
I'll do anything to get that knife out of my back.
Hey, well, listen, Sam, I want to thank you for being on the show. We'll do this again here before the election. And you just kind of get settled in there. And if you will, get a feel for how people in that area feel about the election. And give us an update next time we talk to you. It'd be all right?
Oh, sure. And I'll be seeing you too pretty soon there, darling.
I know. That's right.
Yeah, I'm coming to get that hug and a kiss.
All right. Get one for the rest of us, too, while you're at it.
That's right. Well, you're about five hours maybe from here.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a hop, skip, and a jump for me. I mean,
since you traveled all that way, I know. Absolutely. Absolutely. I missed on the Louisiana talk, but, you know, he's went through a lot, and he lost everything.
Yep.
I told him to keep going, keep your head up, and do it like a wrestler can. And that's one thing he does, too.
Well,
that's for sure.
God provided that he has a brother who had a place, and he happened to have in his bag some clothes and his wrestling gear and some tools. God bless you, Sam. If there's anything we can do.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much. And y'all have a blessed day. And Jeff put me on his prayer list. And anybody else wants to put me on their prayer list, feel free.
We'll do it.
I'm all about praying too.
Thank you.
Yep, that's true. We always do.
All right.
Hey, I love y'all. And I'll talk to y'all soon, okay?
We'll look forward to it. Thank you so much.
All right.
Sonny, he has been through it. And, boy, can you imagine that? Just your whole, you know, life just washed away.
Yeah, no, that's, you know, but, yeah, up here during the fires, this is what happened to many, you know.
How are they going?
Everything.
How are they going right now? I saw where one was about extinguished. How are the rest of them going?
The others are pretty much. We don't have any, you know, danger up here, but in San Bernardino, there's a new one that came out, and it's probably over 20 acres now, which they call the Kin Fire. I love how they name names, you know, tornadoes, fires.
Yeah.
Like,
the Kin Fire, okay.
Yeah, the Kin Fire. Yeah, Kindle. I'm like, no, fires shouldn't be called that. I don't know. It just doesn't sound right.
Sonny, can I ask you a question about these fires?
Yes.
They all seem to be named after Caucasians.
Hmm.
All right? Now, there was a huge outcry because it was only Caucasian names used to name hurricanes. And so we now have Hispanic and black names included. When are they going to start doing that for fires?
I know, right?
Shanika fire.
Shanika fire.
Yeah. Shanika fire.
Yeah.
One fire after another.
You guys are awful.
I bet they will if it starts burning in Compton.
Right. Hey, yeah. Did you see where Trump this week was ahead? I didn't check it today, but this week he was ahead by 3 points in that L.A. Times poll. Have you been watching that?
I didn't, but yeah, three, I know. And L.A. Times, God love them. They're probably kind of accurate. Yeah, 3 points.
Yeah,
but that's
3 points.
Overall.
Yeah, that's a nationwide
poll. Good. Now, I foresee that he'll be, rising above, like his hair. He'll be coming out.
All right. If you get a hold of one of those pinatas, we want to see pictures, okay?
Oh, my gosh. They had it all over the news. It was funny.
Okay.
Dedication to Trump, yes.
I want to know what comes out when the candy gets
that's what I'd like to know. There should be $100 bills,
There you go. Some few diamonds, right?
Yes. Diamonds and pearls, that would be wonderful, but I doubt that. It'd probably be, Tootsie Rolls.
Well, you know.
That Tootsie Roll curl, like his hair.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah,
I'll
definitely show you a picture.
Okay.
You'll laugh. It's funny.
All right, we'll look forward to it.
All right.
You take care. Have a great week.
Thanks, guys. God bless.
God bless, Sonny.
Dennis, I hope you have you on again.
Thank
you.
You
better be on.
All right, thanks.
All right, take care.
All right, good night.
You know, if I had a pinata of Hillary, it would be full of poison pills.
Poison pills.
These guys are sexy and smart.
And we're back. And that brainy Nostradamus, he had to duck out to spend the rest of the evening with his lovely bride. So congratulations once again. Happy birthday, Nostradamus. And happy birthday to Angel Buckland. James's wife?
Yes. They share birthdays. How about that?
Yeah, that's right. All right, it's time for some odd stories. Kathy Santomassino, what you got?
Well, last week we talked about the smartest presidents in U.S. history. This week we're going to explore the dumbest presidents based on the same Simonton IQ study that gave the rankings for the brightest. I narrowed it down to 5.
Now, let's real quick review. Madison turned out to be the smartest, right?
John Quincy Adams was number one.
That's right. I'm sorry. I thought it was Madison. He was up there, but he wasn't number one.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Tied for 5th place are Lyndon Johnson, Calvin Coolidge, and Gerald Ford at 127. Number 4, William Howard Taft and Andrew Jackson tie at 126. There's a 4-way tie for the number 3rd position. George W. Bush, James Buchanan, Zachary Taylor, and Andrew Johnson all share an IQ of 125.
C students.
There you go, or B plus.
Yeah.
Warren G. Harding and James Monroe tie for 2nd place at 124.
So wait a minute. So now you're going to reveal the dumbest president of all.
And the dumbest president in U.S. history is...
Hold on, we don't have his college transcripts.
It isn't whom you think.
No, he came in at like 15 or something like that. Wait a minute.
Well, that's because we can't prove
it. I'll give you a hint. He was a general in the Civil War.
Ulysses S. Grant.
No.
There you go, Chris.
Oh,
at 120.
It was all that alcohol.
And by the way, Ronald Reagan's IQ was only 130.
According to that.
Okay.
What is Obama's according to that?
Thank you for the segue. President Barack Obama is also reported to have an IQ of 130, which just beats out former President George W. Bush, whose IQ is 125. However, both fall short of former President Bill Clinton, whose IQ is reportedly 137. And on a side note, Hillary Clinton tops all of them with an IQ of 140. Who would know that Hildebeest, who has done some really dumb things, I'm trying to be as kind as I can as Secretary of State, would rank so high? Do you think she's outsmarted everyone by playing dumb?
These numbers are fudged.
No, I think there was a philosopher, I think it was Rene Descartes, anyway, who said, it's one thing to have a good mind, it's another thing to use it well, all right? She has used her mind to connive and cheat and lie and steal, and that's why she got a couple $100 million. We'll be back. All right, that's right, folks. We're The Answer until 8 o'clock. And then Mark Walter with Armed American Radio is the answer until 11 o'clock tonight.
If we are the answer, what is the question?
That is the question. All right, that's Aubrey Kahn, and he has the answers every Saturday from 1 to 3 with Talk to the Experts. All right, and Kathy Santomassino has the answers when it comes to who's smart and who's dumb when it comes to our presidents.
Yeah, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but somebody has to do it right. Have you heard about the tarantulas in California looking for love? Tarantulas are out looking for love, and hikers in Southern California's Santa Monica Mountains are warned to watch out for the hairy spiders. Tarantula mating season has begun, and it will last through the end of October, the National Park Service said. That means the giant arachnids, am I pronouncing that right?
Yes.
Will spend the next 2 months weaving webs just above ground outside the female's burrow. Because females typically stay inside, if a hiker comes across a tarantula, it's probably a male on the lookout for a mate, experts say. Males have been known to search for up to 4 miles to find a female. Though they have fangs and carry poison, tarantulas are not considered a serious threat to humans, however. While female tarantulas can live up to 25 years, guess what the average lifespan of the male is?
One female.
Yes.
Not even that. How about
almost one female?
7 to 8 years. So their annual chances to spread their genes is pretty limited. To make matters worse, female tarantulas have been known to eat the males if they linger too long after copulation. According to the Park Service, mating occurs when the male approaches the female's burrow and taps on the web strands outside the entrance. If the female is willing, she'll come outside and receive his sperm, which he deposits on a web that she then receives and uses to fertilize her eggs. Well, here's the right. summary of the spider courtship ritual. It's pretty grim. Okay, the male search for miles to find a female. The male comes to the female's house. They have sex. If he overstays his welcome, he's eaten by the female. So it's no wonder the female outlives the male by almost 4 times longer. The odds are stacked against him that he will survive his first date.
Boy, I can relate to that guy, you know.
Yeah. I was going to say, it sounds almost human.
But indeed. If I were you, I wouldn't go camping out there with that mustache you got, by the way. Well, you might find a spider tapping on your web.
You know, of course, why Portuguese men wear mustache.
No, I don't.
So they can look like their mothers.
Okay.
Send your letters to Talk to the Experts radio show.
Did you hear about the anti-wrinkle device that caused a plane evacuation?
A plane evacuation.
Okay.
Anti-wrinkle device?
Authorities
say... This is appropriate on the weekend that the Sully movie comes out, right?
Authorities say a vibrating device that claims to fight wrinkles as it rolls over a person's face forced a Southwest Airlines flight to evacuate in New Mexico. Albuquerque Aviation Police told a local news station that passengers were ordered off the plane Monday after the anti-aging skin roller was discovered in the back of the seat. Authorities say the flight crew moved the item to the galley as police searched the plane. No other suspicious items were found and no arrests were made. Adding a new wrinkle to Southwest's slogan, you are now free to move about the country, but not on schedule.
What?
Cute.
A rolling pin for your face?
Yes, I actually have one. I'll talk about it later after the show. It's a little involved.
Okay.
But anyway, did you hear about the dog that swam 6 miles and walked another 12 in search for his family? A dog swam more than
Lassie.
6 miles.
I saw that one Lassie once.
He's a triathlete.
And walked a dozen more to find its family after falling aboard into Lake Michigan last weekend. Edward Casas was boating on the lake Sunday with his wife, Kristen, and the family dog, a 10-month-old Belgian Malinois. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I have no idea.
Named Riley. Casas tells ABC News, Riley went overboard while he was in the engine room trying to figure out a mechanical problem with the boat and his wife was steering. Kassas says he sent out a May Day call on the radio and was connected to, yes, there's a volunteer group that searches for lost dogs at sea. The next morning, someone spotted Riley going into a nearby campground. Kassas says there was a lot of sobbing and hugging when the family was reunited with their dog. That's one lucky dog. Can you believe it?
The wife was steering, and she didn't notice the dog was...
It's easy for a dog to fall overboard. It happens all the time, actually. Dogs love water, and they decide to jump overboard to go swimming, and before you know it, they're lost to sea.
And you hear splash. Oh, what was that? The fish are jumping.
Hey, this one's for you, Aubrey. Aubrey, I know how you love tomatoes, okay?
I do, actually.
Did you hear about the tomato fight in the Spanish town that left it a mushy mess?
That's an annual event.
It's an annual event,
this happens... Actually, it's called a Tomatina Street Battle in eastern Spain, where people actually get together, and they call it the Fiesta in Brunol. It's in its 25th year or 15th year. They get 160 tons of tomatoes. They're offloaded from six trucks into the crowd, packing the town streets for the hour-long battle that attracts many foreigners, including 20,000 participants, okay?
Yep.
People cheer and jump. The trucks pull into the narrow streets. The revelers chant, tomato, tomato. And to avoid injuries, revelers are instructed to squelch the tomatoes before throwing them. Even so, many donned swimming goggles to protect their eyes. People on balconies overlooking the festivities were pelted. Tomatoes left red blotches on buildings. White walls were covered in tomatoes. After the fight, the participants in the town streets were drenched in a sea of red pulp. Organizers then hosed the streets down within minutes of the event ending at noon, while participants could use public showers. The paid entry event was inspired by a 1945 food fight between local children in the tomato-producing region. This kind of proves you can celebrate anything.
I guess
but
so.
You know, Kathy, this ties in kind of with your face roller thing.
Yeah, I'll talk about that later,
all right,
Aubrey.
Because tomatoes are slightly acidic.
They are.
And they could be used as a skin peel, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's not what they do. I'll tell you later after the show. Did you hear about the Italian kitty pulled from the rubble after 5 days?
Oh, yeah.
We
yeah,
have our
right.
cat story every Sunday.
There was one
Sunday.
About a dog as well.
A dog
well,
too.
I
yes,
will tell
right.
you about that in a second. Oh. A never-say-die cat has been pulled from debris alive 5 days after the devastating earthquake in Italy, which killed nearly 300 people, as we know. It is nothing short of a miracle that the cat named Gigia survived the catastrophe. The dehydrated feline was discovered by firefighters. They brought her water to get her hydrated. The Italian equivalent of the ASPCA have been caring for Gigia. She, along with other animals that were found in the rubble, including a pregnant cow, are being cared for at a makeshift veterinary hospital in the area. Gigia is expected to survive and has 8 lives remaining after her brush with death. Then 9 days after the same earthquake, rescuers also pulled out a golden retriever by the name of Romeo from the rubble as well. Romeo was pulled out from underneath the collapsed metal structural beams of his owner's demolished house. The beams likely sheltered him from any further damage when the earthquake came into that area of Italy. And that was on August 24th. So this pooch survived 9 days.
Yeah.
The owners called their dog, Romeo, Romeo. That sounds like a romantic,
sounds like
romantic
a Shakespearean
play,
tragedy.
Doesn't it? Remarkably, Romeo was in healthy condition, considering his ordeal. Pretty amazing, huh?
You know, I don't know what I would do if I was buried under rubble. I would pray I had a firearm so I could shoot myself in the head, because I'd go totally crazy down there.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being under there and dying of starvation?
Yeah, indeed.
You'd
indeed.
Probably
and dehydration.
Die of having no air. A lot of these animals survive because there's an air pocket surrounding them.
Right.
Amazingly enough.
Yeah, but no food or water. Okay, what else you got?
Okay, giant hairball found in a girl's stomach.
She's been licking her cat again?
Well, not necessarily. After a five-year-old girl in China complained of stomach pains, doctors discovered the source, a giant hairball that had hardened in her stomach. Doctors believe Mao Mao of Qingdao City in East China's Shandong province, try to say that, anyway, had likely been eating her hair for 6 to 12 months. Apparently, this behavior is called allotriophagy.
Yeah, it's a psychological disorder.
A condition wherein a patient craves unusual substances, and it's similar to symptoms of pica, which is a condition in which patients eat chalk, metal, and glass. Anyway, doctors removed the mass, which was a 21-inch hairball, which comprised about two-thirds of her stomach and caused blockages and later her pain. The girl, who doctors noted was shy, told her parents she often ate her hair when she couldn't fall asleep during nap time at her nursery school. Yeah. They advised Mao Mao's parents to pay more attention to their daughter's daily habits. I don't know if I'm pronouncing the girl's name correctly. Maybe it's Meow Meow instead of Mao Mao.
But don't you think her parents should pack her a lunch?
She's 5 years old.
She's
definitely disturbed.
Yeah, it's
at 5 years old.
Nervous thing, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
Did you hear about the creepy clown that is causing a frenzy in South Carolina?
Oh, because we know one in Florida.
Well, there's a man-made trail winding through the woods near the Fleetwood Manor Apartments that leads also to an abandoned home on the edge of a pond, and children are saying clowns live there. Police in Greenville County in northern South Carolina haven't been able to substantiate the children's claims, but a police report from the first clown sightings on August 21st reveal a suspicious character dressed in a circus clown outfit and white face paint, enticing kids to follow him into the woods. A woman told a responding deputy that her son had seen clowns in the woods whispering and making strange noises, according to the report. She said the boy led her to where he saw the clowns, and then she also saw them flashing green laser lights before they ran away into the woods. Around that same time, the woman's older son reported hearing chains and banging on the front door of the residence. The deputy investigating the case said another woman at the same apartment complex said she saw a clown outside around 2:30 a.m. that same morning. The large figured clown with a blinking nose standing under a post light near the garbage dumpster area waved at her, and she waved back, according to the police report. But the suspect did not approach her or harm her. I wonder if that was near McDonald's. Do you think that was Ronald?
I don't know. All I know is that they had some missing politicians in that area as well. Maybe it's all similar, so it comes together.
Well, apparently the clown has a large amount of money. I wonder if he works for Hillary Clinton's group.
That's a good possibility. She does seem to hire a lot of clowns. All right, we'll be right back. Wrap up tonight's show. Please stay with us.
Former WCW World Television Champion Johnny B. Bad. It's a good day to be a bad man, but it's even a better day to listen to the American Adversaries. And you better listen. Don't let me come and get you, because it's going to be a blessing to teach you a lesson.
All right, we're back for just a few more minutes. I got time for one more call. James, I'm going to have to ask you to be brief and to the point, though, because we're just about out of time. Thanks for calling tonight.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me. And yeah. I just wanted to follow up with a previous caller. I was talking about racism and how it's in the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
You can basically go and Google this, but I did while I was originally listening to it. And some of the comments that LBJ had about the African-American community, what thought of them.
Yeah.
And it's flat out, disgraceful. And if you want to read about it, this is from that ultra right wing news site called MSNBC .com, and you can read about it. It was dated April 11th, 2014.
Yeah, matter of fact, we know this because there's recordings and things of the nature, not just people saying they heard it. I mean, actual recordings. And yeah, he uses the N-word quite liberally and talks about how the Civil Rights Act and the Great Society is going to have them N-words voting Democrat for generations. And yeah, so, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't let the facts confuse somebody's argument, but the facts are the facts. And that's exactly how we viewed the African American community. Once again, another Democrat.
Exactly. Exactly. Thanks, James. Appreciate you being. All right, thank you. Appreciate you being out there. All right, and as I said earlier, we're going to leave you with another special treat tonight here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to leave you with the tail end of our very first show. A little while ago, at the beginning of the show, we played the beginning of our very first show. So now we're going to play you the end of our very first show as we go into our seventh year around here. Seven's a lucky number. Maybe we'll break through into some newfound greatness. Who knows?
But we can't, go national!
Can't do it without you folks out there, and I couldn't do it without great folks around me like Kathy Santomassino, Aubrey Kahn, Pasquale, of course, everybody that's been on the show, all the sponsors, Lair, Nostradamus, McBath. I mean, we wouldn't be here for all the. It's a team effort, and that includes you folks who have been out there listening all this time. So we're going to leave you with the tail end of our very first show, and then we're going to follow that up by a special little song by Lloyd Marcus. And please don't forget that this Saturday at the Ocean Center, Daytona Beach, 11 to 2 p.m., a free Blue Lives Matter celebration culminating with a concert by Lloyd Marcus. You're invited. Come on out and join us. In the meantime, this is what we sounded like as we went off the air 6 years ago. All right? So hope you enjoyed it and hope you enjoyed tonight's show. And I hope you will be around with us as many more years as we can put in. All right? So here's me and Lair, or I should say Lair and me, as we ended the show 6 years ago. And then, well, we'll just leave it at that. So, night, everybody.
Good night.
Oh, that's great. Listen, folks, we've got a wonderful time tonight. We're going to do a little bit of a wrap-up here. I'll give you my take on things, and then I guess Chris will give you a little bit there, too.
Just one quick thing before we go. We'd like to thank our call screener, Nostradamus, who, oh, by the way, folks, just yesterday he celebrated his birthday. Happy birthday, Dennis.
Happy birthday, Dennis.
Big 5-0. Thank you, boys.
Well, you didn't have to tell us how old you are. I would have never. I thought you were just 70. But that's okay. Oh, by the way, we're going to change Dennis's name to Marcel Marceau. He's the man behind the glass. You never hear him. He's doing behind the glass. Now he's giving me another hand sing on him, what that is.
And we'd like to thank David Kuhn, Jeff Sinis, Colin Brady, and all the good folks here at WORL and Salem Communications for making this show possible. Possible and helping us to produce it. Thanks, y'all.
That's right. Jeff is the bestest engineer around. Folks, I got a question for you.
I appreciate that.
All right. Hey, we heard Jeff. Folks, I got a question for you. A quick, easy question. Now, what is good about America? There are so many things it's hard to count. But one of the things that's really good about this country, in my opinion, and no, I'm not being selfish, this program. And this is why. Where else, what other country would you ever have the freedom to talk like this and to talk this openly about problems in our country? Other countries, you'd be accused of sedition. Just the fact that two guys can come in here and talk, that's a beautiful part of our country. There's so many parts of it. Now, personally, I kind of wonder, is it kind of foolish or is it normal to wish we could go back to the time that I remember in my childhood when couples stayed together? I mean, you hardly ever saw adults that didn't wear a wedding ring because they stayed together. And you know what? Nobody ever hurt children. I can't get over that. If they did hurt kids, they lost the right to be with them. Is this country getting so weak and wimpy that if someone abuses someone, you still have to cuddle them and say, hey, it's okay? And it's all when living within the law mattered. And it's because it worked. And we all realized it. Folks, I will leave you this. Things are going to get better. They may get worse before they get better, but they will get better. And my final word, I'm just going to leave one word with you, and this is my final word, grow. Just grow.
Right on, Lair. That's good. That's good. Remember, folks, our forefathers were a whole lot smarter than this crowd in Washington, D.C. today. Our system will prevail, and no matter how bad these guys screw things up, we can fix it. Just keep the faith, folks.
Yep, keep the faith. Next week, we got a lot of hot news stories. This is my favorite. I will be hosting the Hillary Code.
Not the Hillary Code.
The Hillary Code. And what else, Chris? I know who you're going to talk about.
I want to talk about Stephen Hawking. I used to think this guy was smart until he started saying there is no God.
Well, you know, the poor guy, maybe he's been attached to that chair too long. Maybe he's turning into a Borg. I don't want to demean the fellow, but we'll talk about that.
And we'll also have another election update, and we'll always be talking about the week's hot stories.
Have a great week, folks.
Good night, everybody.
We show up every day to get a check, but what a price to pay. Performing like a machine, never knowing what it means. Take a break on weekends, then we do it all again. Have a choice, it's truly quite profound. It's to exist or move to higher ground. Step out in faith for your dreams, as frightening as it seems. Better that you take a chance than think what might have been. There comes a time in your life when you must dream, for things are never as bad as they seem. There's a bright new day, it's always on its way. But it's up to you to dream. Oh, you gotta sing your song, and you gotta trust your heart. Yes, you gotta take that step. Don't let the cynics turn you. Critics.